Studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 23 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 22. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 14. It's time now for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
For another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the brother. Help me, sister.
Tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low base.
Who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 454-0400. My email address is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my long-distance number. My email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. And if you want to, check us out on the web. We're streamed, WGNU.net or LizBrown.com. It's just a click away at LizBrown.com, LizBrown.com. Get to me. My goodness gracious. Whoo, Lord. So much stuff to talk about. little bit of a Super Bowl catch-up day here. A little bit of the Super Bowl. I watched the commercials. I came into the game to watch the commercials. And I was disappointed. I was disappointed with the commercials. Oh, 454-0400 is my phone number. Now let me get to the real business at hand. The real business at hand. The state of the world that we live in, I don't know. It's kind of weird. Weird's really the wrong word. It's the wrong word. It's not weird. It is disturbing. It is disturbing. It's disturbing. How the place that we find ourselves in. It truly is. It's a disturbing, disturbing, disturbing place. West Warwick, Rhode Island. A seventh grader who wrote an essay saying that his perfect day would involve doing violence to George W. Bush. This seventh grader is being investigated by the Secret Service. The unidentified boy from West Warwick turned in the essay on Tuesday, and his teacher alerted school officials. The assignment was to write about what he would do on a perfect day. They called the essay a cry for help. The boy wanted to hurt executives at Coca-Cola, Walmart, and attack a Walgreens pharmacy. The student has been barred temporarily from coming back to school. The essay did not threaten anyone at school, did not detail any specific plans for an attack, and the authorities said that they wouldn't release the copy of his essay. And I guess here's my concern. The type of society that we live in. Freedom of expression for a seventh grader turns into a visit from the Secret Service. How concerned are you? How concerned are you? Is that where you can't write about things like that in an essay without a visit from the Secret Service? We have people that are going around the world saying that a newspaper has a right to publish a caricature of the Prophet Muhammad with a bomb coming out of his head. They're calling that freedom of expression. But yet a child can't write an essay about wanting to do harm to Walmart, wanting to do harm to Coca-Cola, who his perfect day would be to do violence to George W. Bush. This is an essay. It wasn't a plan. He's a seventh grader. Is that a chilling effect on what you can write? Because, you know, what the next logical step is that kids won't be allowed to read about books. I mean, think about all of the movies that you couldn't see if violence against public officials threatened, imagined, or actual violence in a movie against some kind of public official was taken out of the movie. What is the... And according to the United States, those in the United States that rank such things, what is the number one movie ever made in the United States? What is it? What is it? What is it? The number one movie in the United States. The best movie, the top movie out of all movies ever made in the history of cinematography. In the history of movie making, what's the number one all-time favorite? And the winner is Godfather? Well, Godfather was based on a book. Mario Puzo, I believe, was his name. Imagine. You know, Stephen King would have never gotten out of school if he hadn't been allowed to write his or if he had been punished for writing the things that he's written. He writes some pretty violent things in his novels. You know, it appears that there is a warped understanding of what truth is supposed to be and a warped understanding of what fiction is supposed to be. We live at a time and with a government that is more concerned about protecting us from fiction than protecting us from fact. We have a government that is absolutely genetically precluded from bringing us the truth, and is also genetically inspired, I guess, and genetically programmed to. Go after us based on lies. Isn't that something? They go after us and they go after them. Fair is fair. They go after us and them, whoever them is. They go after us and them on lies. And they could. What's the phrase? What's the phrase my grandmama used to say? The truth ain't in them. The truth ain't in them. A seventh grader and their school receives a visit from the Secret Service based on his essay. Scary times. These are scary, scary, scary times. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Oh, and here's something scary coming down the pike. For all of you who love the internet like I do, for all of you that I couldn't imagine going back to any other time before the internet. Check this out. The nation's largest telephone and cable companies are crafting a number of strategies that would transform the free, open, and non-discriminatory internet of today into a privately run, branded service that would charge a fee for virtually everything we do online. Verizon, Comcast, Bell South, and other communications giants are developing strategies that would track and store information on every move in cyberspace. They'd put it into a vast data collection and marketing system. And then people such as cable, telephone, telecommunications industry, those with the deepest pockets, would get preferred treatment. Content from these providers would have first priority over our computer and television screens, while information seen as undesirable, such as peer-to-peer communications, would be relegated to the slow lane or simply shut out. Under the plans that they are considering, all of us, from content providers to individual users, would pay more to surf online, pay more to stream videos, pay to even send email. Industry planners are mulling new subscription plans that would further limit the online experience, establishing platinum, gold, and silver levels of internet access that would limit the number of downloads, media streams, and email messages that could be sent or received. How scary is that? How scary is that? Get you hooked on the stuff. Just like crack. Get you hooked on the internet and then make you start paying for it. Imagine that. You would have to pay for the amount of downloads that you did. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? That would be like making a call to your girlfriend across town from your landline. And you're calling your girlfriend. And you're talking about some man. And you would have to pay for the minute for talking to your girlfriend. Wouldn't that be awful? That's what they're talking about. That is what they're talking about. And how are they planning on doing this? This is why I say on the show every single day, y'all got to get involved in the political process. Pick a fight. Stick to it. Stay with it. Find where your passion is and roll with it. Because the only way that they can get this done is the fact is politically. Phone companies, cable lobbyists are now engaged in a political campaign to weaken the nation's communications policy laws. They want the federal government to prevent them to operate internet and other digital communication services as private networks, free of policy safeguards or governmental oversight. Indeed, both the Congress and the FCC are considering proposals that will have far-reaching impact on the internet's futures 10 years after passing the ill-advised 1996 Telecommunications Act. Telephone companies and cable companies are using the same political snake oil to convince compromised or clueless lawmakers to subvert the internet into a turbocharged digital retail machine. They're coming after your stuff. They're coming after your stuff. Think about it. Think about the fact that you would have to pay for the number of emails that you send. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And the only way to get it done is to get to your elected officials. Do you know how many emails I get a day? Do you know how many emails I get a day? Do you know how many emails? And compared to other folks, the amount of emails that I get doesn't begin to compare to what other folks get. I can't keep up. If you're in my office, all you hear is, you've got mail, you've got mail, you've got mail, you've got mail. I have to turn it off. So imagine other people in other industries that are far more internet related than my industry. They coming for your stuff. They coming for your stuff. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And this is just a message. Valentine's Day is coming, y'all. And I know you want to do something special. Here's an idea. Here is an idea for you. Do something special for you, sweetie. Why don't you become a radio superstar? Put a little Valentine's Day message out for your sweetie. On Valentine's Day, on the wake-up call, I will play your message to your sweetie. Tell your sweetie how much you love them, how much you care about them. Send one out to your mom. Send one out to your dad. Send one out to your brother, your sister, your son. and I'll play it on my show on Valentine's Day. How do you get this done? You need to call 367-2743. That's 367-2743. 367-2743. Valentine's Day is coming. You want to get it on the air? You want your sweetie to know how much you love them, how much you think about them, how much you matter to them. Have your I Love You played on the wake-up call on Valentine's Day. Get it done, and here's how. You call 367-2743. That's 367-2743. Say happy Valentine's Day. I'm Liz Brown. We're taking a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is don't you let go of my hand. Don't you let go of my hand. We have so much stuff to deal with. I'll be back.
Afraid what they've been doing's not right.
He doesn't know what to say.
Let's all be praised.
Morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Eastbound 64 at Illinois 111, Kings Highway over on the east side. There's an accident reported northbound 55 from Merrimack Loud and McCarran. Let no problems there. Eastbound 44 from 109 to 270 looks good. Eastbound 40 from 94 all the way in the Timberlake Manor. Everything's on the move. Eastbound 70 from 79 to 270 is on the move as well. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge to 367. Expect normal traffic. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall Road. That traffic is starting to build this hour. Westbound 5570 split at Illinois 203 all the way into 64 looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Memorial Drive. Everything's on the move. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue to the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems to report there. Northbound Route 3 from Queenie onto the ramps to the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect normal traffic this morning. Northbound 94 from Orchard Farm to Grafton Ferry. There's a disabled vehicle in the traffic lane. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 40. This evening, partly cloudy until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the lower 20s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, a high around 40. And Wednesday, partly sunny early in the morning to becoming mostly cloudy by the afternoon. There's a chance for flurries on Wednesday. The high will only be in the mid-30s. Currently, at the studios of AM 920, WGNU, we have 23 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 22, and the wind chill makes it feel like it's 14. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU Radio. As you know, we are in the process of changing and starting new things at WGNU. To make the most of what you have to say and to air the best part everyone wants to hear, our engineers will ask you the subject you want to talk about as we start a new screening process at AM 920. We want to bring out the issues that matter most to you. Thank you for your cooperation.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the controversial artificial sweetener called aspartame. This substance is used in thousands of food products, but has a history of causing bad health reactions. Concerns have risen so much that a legislator in New Mexico is calling for his state to ban it completely. It was discovered by accident and only made it onto the marketplace with the help of one Donald Rumsfeld, even though the FDA had concerns about it 20 years ago. So why is it still being sold? We'll have an in-depth examination of the aspartame controversy with Jim Turner, director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy, on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
Hey, everyone. This is Mark Hinderleiter. Tune in to my GNU show, Lessons in Leadership, at 8 o'clock every Monday night, beginning February 13th. Each week, I'll talk with high-level leaders in business, government, education, and the community about current leadership topics. This show is like a weekly MBA class, and you can attend from home or in your car. Get the leadership edge you need by listening to Lessons in Leadership, Monday nights at 8 o'clock on WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Regina Ruiz. I would like to invite you to tune in to my broadcast on Sunday afternoons here on WGNU. The program is called Talk to Me. I will be delivering a message to build your faith and improve your life and will be taking your calls live. Listen every Sunday afternoon at 1:30 and talk to me, Regina Ruiz, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
What we're talking about this morning on the Wake Up Call. At 8, Michael McConnell, Regional Director of the American Friends Service Committee, discusses what the Quakers have done to find out who the Pentagon is spying on and why they're doing it. Then at 9, we analyze the artificial sweetener aspartame and find out how this problematic substance got onto the market and why it stays there with Jim Turner, Director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy. It's a full day of listening for this first Monday in February, right here on your award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call. Wake Up Call, Liz Brown.
You want to know what's going to get in me? Just a little touch of star quality. And if I'm too bright, go too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Email me while you can, while it's free, at revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call, Barbara.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I had a question about the email situation.
Yes, ma'am.
How much of that legislation or that this program is political?
I guess define what you mean by political, Barbara.
I mean, it's coming from a political effort to influence this, or is it all lobbyists?
It's coming from a financial place where businesses want to find a way to make more money off of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming from corporations, it's coming from special interest groups, and it's coming from major advertisers.
Okay, because I was just wondering if the politicians were tired of getting emails from the public because they had such easy access and they were getting, you got mail.
You know what? That's a very good observation. That is a very, very good observation. So they wouldn't have to hear from us either, huh?
Yeah, it wouldn't be easy access because you have to get a 40-cent stamp almost now to get to them or a telephone call and wait for hours or don't get through it all. So.
That's a very good point, Barbara.
All right.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Saturday on the Charles Draco show on Channel 2, Saturday evening, they had Donnell Smith and Jeff Cleveland on there about this case. And, Liz, I wish you could have seen it. These people just lie and lie. Donnell Smith was telling him that the man never had a warrant. It was nothing on this guy. And then he tried to say, Chip Freeman tried to say, well, Bob McCullen got the word that there was something on this guy, and Donnell Smith said, well, I got the call from Bill McCullen, that they never had nothing on this guy. I mean, Liz, it was just a whole total farce. And to hear how he, Chuck Cleveland trying to say why there was a concerted effort for all four of these police to beat this guy, Charles Draco said, well, the guy was down on the ground, and you had him handcuffed in the back. Why did you keep stopping him? Well, listen to this, Liz. Well, his body was moving. And then George Draco said, well, it looked like to me his body was moving because you were steadily beating him. You know, Liz, this is terrible.
It is. I think that most people that have a problem with, most people that don't trust the police, most people that would run from the police, most people that see the police as an occupying force as opposed to an entity that is supposed to serve and protect, most people would change their minds or their attitudes or renew their attitudes or consider changing their attitudes if you'd have the police come out in a circumstance when wrong is wrong and they would say, you know what, this is unacceptable.
Yeah,
well, no, we don't want our police doing this. This is wrong. They never say that they're wrong.
They never say that they're wrong. And see, I'm going to say this real quick. I don't think you had moved here yet when this incident happened with the big chase from the county all the way down here in the city with Anheuser-Busch's grandson. And when they got up on this car, I guess, and saw that it was Anheuser-Busch's grandson with the license plate or whatever, they didn't do nothing to this guy. I mean, this guy, Liz, was holy terror.
Okay.
But that was okay, I guess.
All right.
But Jeff Freeman kept saying, well, the guy ran. So that means you're supposed to beat him, I guess, because he went only on a child support. The only thing they had on this guy was that he had back child support.
But here's the piece. They didn't know any of that before they started chasing
him.
So you cannot come after the fact and say, well, he had this, he had this, he had this, after the fact. You can't do that because they looked at him, he was black, they were going to hassle him, and they were going to beat him, and the fact that they showed it on tape, it showed that he had every reason to run.
Right.
He had every reason to run. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. They can't read your mind. Cops can't read your mind. They can't just... He had every reason to run. These were criminal cops that were going to commit crimes against him. Aren't you supposed to defend yourself? They were wrong. They were absolutely wrong and lawless. There was no crime that this man committed. There was no crime that this man was in the midst of, and they had no reason to believe that. The only thing that they were motivated by was the color of his skin. Period, dot. It was wrong. It was wrong. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
You know, the first thing that caught my attention when I heard that story, I believe they said a gentleman was trying to steal gas. Is that not correct?
There are 15,000 different stories that the police have come up with subsequent to this action. There's a story about, he looked suspicious first.
Right.
Then there's a story about he had bad plates. Then there's a story about trying to steal gasoline. None of that is true.
Well, let me tell you this. I'm going to put this out there. This is supposed to have started out at a Quick Trip in Maplewood, if I'm not mistaken. As of December 15th, all Quick Trips are prepaid, so it's virtually impossible to steal gas. Those pumps, they will not cut them pumps on until your gas is paid for. You have to go in to pay, or you have to pay at the pump with a debit card or a credit card. So that's one lie that we can throw out the one. And then the other issue with the two guys that got killed down in Lincoln County, I see that guy has been indicted for manslaughter.
That is correct.
And you can kill African-Americans here in Missouri, but you can't kill white boys and get away with it. I think they've proven a point with that. Have a good day.
Thanks for the call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Washington. While President Bush called for ending the country's addiction to oil, the Department of Energy says projections show America will import 6 million barrels a day from the Middle East by the year 2025. The director of the National Economic Council, Al Hubbard, says that figure might be reduced to a little over 5 million barrels a day if an expansion of alternative fuels and hybrid vehicle research is forthcoming. The president also made mention in his speech of developing cellulosic ethanol to make it competitive with other fuels by 2012. Currently, there are no plants in this country to manufacture that fuel, but a Canadian company has plans to build the first one. Researchers say the thing that will have the biggest impact on reducing the oil needs will be to develop cars that get much better gas mileage. Raising the average fuel economy of the current fleet of vehicles from its present 24 miles a gallon to 44 miles a gallon would reduce the rate of consumption by 3 million barrels a day. And Dateline Washington, have you sent in your contributions to the Scooter Libby Defense Trust Fund yet? So far, they've only raised $2 million to help defend the man indicted for leaking CIA operative Valerie Plame's name to the media. Louis Libby is Vice President Dick Cheney's former chief of staff. The fund hopes to raise at least $6 million for him. Hundreds of people have given contributions of $12,000 or less in order to avoid tax liabilities. It is structured so the identity of the donors does not have to be made public. But the Republican strategist who was on the committee that set it up says the donors are friends of Libby or friends of friends of friends. Libby is to go on trial for perjury and obstruction of justice next January. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the controversial artificial sweetener called aspartame. This substance is used in thousands of food products, but has a history of causing bad health reactions. Concerns have risen so much that a legislator in New Mexico is calling for his state to ban it completely. It was discovered by accident and only made it onto the marketplace with the help of one Donald Rumsfeld, even though the FDA had concerns about it 20 years ago. So why is it still being sold? We'll have an in-depth examination of the aspartame controversy with Jim Turner, director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy, on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU. Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
Try your best. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. This is the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you. And if you have a problem with personal work or family relationships, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. Then go do the right thing.
Experience the sounds of the night during a hike at the August A. Bush Conservation Area in St. Charles on Saturday, February 11th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. The hike will be 3.5 miles and take place on the Bush Hiking and Biking Trail. Make reservations now by calling 636-441-4554. News to hikers from WGNU.
Here's what we're talking about this morning on the Wake Up Call. At 8, Michael McConnell, Regional Director of the American Friends Service Committee, discusses what the Quakers have done to find out who the Pentagon is spying on and why they're doing it. Then at 9, we analyze the artificial sweetener aspartame and find out how this problematic substance got onto the market and why it stays there with Jim Turner, director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy. It's a full day of listening for this first Monday in February, right here on your award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith it can get better tomorrow. But it won't if you keep treating me like I'm invisible.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life fast and African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My goodness gracious. Do we have much, 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 much to talk about? Started off this morning talking about a seventh grader having the Secret Service come to the school because he wrote an essay involving doing violence to George W. Bush, as well as Walmart and Coca-Cola and Walgreens, and I think even Oprah Winfrey was up in there too. What does that say about freedoms within our world? What does that say? I'm thinking about and looking at another article that came out last on Friday at CBC in Town and Country, Missouri. CBC, where tuition is $10,000 a year for students. CBC, where that $10,000 includes a new laptop for every child that starts school in their freshman year. CBC is considering doing something that no other school is doing. They are considering testing every student for drugs. Now, they know more about their babies than we do, okay? They know more about their babies. But here is a statement in this article that gives me, that causes me much concern. And you want to know, and I just got to say this. You want to know why there are so many Americans out there that say, I don't mind George Bush by listening to the conversation between me and my mother-in-law. I'm not doing anything wrong. That would make you a damn fool. Because the issue of privacy has nothing to do with whether you are trying to get away with something. The issue of privacy is just that. No one has a right to listen to your phone calls. No one has a right to do that. That's what privacy, whether you are giving out a recipe for your barbecue sauce or whether you're talking to your man, nobody has the right to listen to your phone calls. No government has the right to listen to your phone calls. But there's a reason why there are such, what's the technical legal phrase I'm looking for? Damn fools out there. Is because there's been a process going on. And the process that's been going on is best illustrated by the comments from Tommy Dower, a junior. That means that next year he's graduating from high school. And here is his comment. I know a lot of people are worried about privacy concerns, but they're telling us it'll be kept confidential. I think it's great that we'll be leading the way in this. You see, that's what that's why people don't, that's why too many people don't care. Because they start them when they're young. They tell the babies, they teach the babies, they encourage the babies. This is a baby that at when he's 35, when he's 40, he's going to be saying, "I don't care." Government, well, by the time he's 40, he won't have much say at all if things continue to go the way that they are right now. But there's a reason why he is saying that he doesn't care. Because that's what they're being taught. Now, mind you, there is a whole lot of elitism in this school. There's a whole lot of elitism from the perspective that they're thinking that they will never be wiretapped on. They will be the wiretappers, I suspect. But nevertheless, these are the people that are going to be going to, and most of them are going to be going on to college and participating in all kinds of things. And when they come out of college, when they come out of high school, and mind you, this is a high school that costs $10,000 a year. And this is what they're teaching them, to submit your rights, to sacrifice your rights on the altar of law and order. You don't have any constitutional rights. How every child is looked at as a criminal in CBC. And in order to prove that you're not, you have to prove yourself innocent. Is that counterintuitive? Is that counter to the Constitution? What is the phrase? Innocent unless until proven guilty? So imagine how they're going to run their businesses. Imagine what kind of boss they're going to be. Imagine what kind of submissive employee these young boys are going to be. What kind of boss they're going to be is they're going to think that they can spy on their employees because that's what they were taught. The kind of employee that they're going to be is they're going to say, well, they can do anything to me because I'm not, you know, that's what they get to do. Because that's what they're taught at $10,000 a year. They're being taught to sacrifice their rights on the altar of law and order. And they're young babies. $10,000 a year, that's what your money's going for. They want to test every child at CBC. For drugs. Not because they've done anything, but because they can. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Liz.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, it's just amazing to me how African American and white people have two different takes on the cop beating by that boy. And I go to that quick trip, you know, every day. And white folks would say, well, if he didn't have anything to hide, he shouldn't have ran. That's why the police beat him down. But they are professionals like you and I. We are professionals. And we should be able to hold our temper in check. They don't make them the judge and the jury.
The fact of the matter is, they beat him. He had every reason to run.
Yep.
Every reason to run. They beat him. They broke the law when they got him. He suspected they would break the law when they got him. He ran.
Do you know something, though, Liz? When you're not being oppressed, you can't see what is going on.
Oh, yes. You choose not to see. Don't act like nobody can. People choose not to. That's a choice. That is a choice not to see.
And that's a shame.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get to me. Last call for the hour. Good morning.
How you doing, young lady?
Quick. I am wonderful. How are you?
All right. Let's take a little spin at CBC. Maybe the drug situation is so far out of hand that they have to inspect everybody. You remember D. Joyce Hayes' son had, what, a serious amount of drugs in the
state. No, he had a drug empire going on right
yes.
there.
So they disinfested.
But here's the thing, and I kind of raised that in the beginning. Even if that is the case, it's still invasive, and I've got a roll. But thanks for your call and your observation. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez has a date with the Senate Judiciary Committee today. Members have a few questions for him about a controversial domestic surveillance program which allows the National Security Agency to listen in on some Americans' phone calls without first obtaining a court warrant. Here's ABC's Vic Ratner.
On the hot seat before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says he looks forward to explaining why the eavesdropping is legal.
It's an ongoing process of educating not only the Congress but the American people about what we're doing and why.
Despite reports that the surveillance program has produced lots of dead ends, useful and helpful are the two words the Attorney General uses to describe the value of the program. Vic Ratner, ABC News, Washington.
Applause for the world's first partial face transplant recipient. The Frenchwoman answered questions for reporters today, telling them she now has a face like everyone else. The 38-year-old was mauled by a dog last year. Jury selection begins today in suburban Washington, D.C., in the sentencing trial of Zacharias Moussaoui, the only person charged in the 9/11 attacks, pleaded guilty to all the charges against him.
Look out! The Steelers are hot.
Yes, they are. Pittsburgh beat Seattle to win Super Bowl 40, 21-10. The Steelers are now one of only three teams to win five Super Bowls. Some say the action, though, was between the plays. The real action, that is. ABC's Alex Stone checked out the Super Bowl commercial. He's back
for me for popping. From a pizza-toting Jessica Simpson to cavemen squashed by an elephant, picking a favorite ad can be tough, but folks here seem to have one.
The Burger King ad was pretty good. That was a pretty good ad.
But remembering what those commercials were for can be the hardest part.
Which one was it? Budweiser?
The one with the bear.
Huh? Yeah, the one with the bear.
Alex Stone, ABC News, at the ESPN Zone in Anaheim, California.
Oh, there you go. Pick your favorite one. This is ABC News.
Let's face it, most everyone can use some extra cash from time to time.
Ted is a check-and-go associate.
So I tell people that no matter what the reason, you can get the cash you need at check-and-go. We'll hold your personal check till payday. Contact us. We'll explain everything and make it easy for you.
Call 1-800-561-CASH to find a check-and-go near you. Or get a cash advance online at checkandgo.com.
Cash advance is subject to certain terms and conditions. See website for details. Ohio license 750310. Rhode Island license check casher.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. If you have $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 in credit card bills, find out how quickly your debt can be paid off. Callers save an average of 30% in payments every month. So gather your bills and call now for a personal debt analysis. Licensing details available. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-695-9092. That's 1-800-695-9092. 9092.
This is a day off, or at least above ground, for the nation's miners.
Federal mine regulators have ordered mine workers around the country to take an hour-long safety break. The order comes after the death of 12 miners in the Sago explosion in West Virginia, followed by three more incidents that left four more miners dead. New safety rules in West Virginia have been approved, but it could be months before the rules are implemented and tested.
ABC's Barbara Britt. Now, here's a new enlightening way to catch fish.
Called Fool-A-Fish, it comes in a bottle that sprays titanium dioxide on fishing lures and bait. The chemical lights up the watery depth like a disco ball, luring fish from half a mile away. The inventor says while humans see in three colors, fish see a fourth in the ultraviolet range, which shows up as a white glow. The spray is non-toxic, odorless, and washes off the soap and water. Fool-A-Fish was invented by a Spokane, Washington physician who loves chemistry and the outdoors, Dr. Milan Jekyll. Hey, it could have been Hyde, or for that matter, Heckle. And Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
I'm Peyton Cole.
Alston with a WGNU News update. This report is brought to you by United States Customs and Border Protection. In the news this hour, local members of the NAACP and the St. Louis Clergy Coalition say they want to ease the tension between police and the public. The two groups met on Friday to discuss recommendations after last week's controversial arrest of Edmund Burns by three Maplewood police officers and one St. Louis officer. The NAACP and Clergy Coalition are calling for an area-wide chase policy, a civilian police review board, and guidelines for the decertification of peace officers who are guilty of crimes. Maplewood Mayor Mark Langston and Police Chief Jim White have agreed to meet with the two groups this week. Meanwhile, local police are getting some support amid accusations of excessive force in that incident. A group of supporters gathered outside the Maplewood Police Department Friday afternoon to show their appreciation of the police. The three Maplewood officers and one St. Louis officer have been the subject of police brutality allegations after last week's chase and violent arrest of Edmund Burns. One supporter of law enforcement says people should expect bad things to happen when you run from the police. In other news, police in Ferguson believe the theft of an SUV with two children inside last week stemmed from a drug deal gone bad. 21-year-old Leandrew Sanders and 17-year-old Joshua Cornelius face charges including assault, robbery, and endangering the welfare of a child. Police say the suspects met the SUV's driver for a drug deal, and the driver was shot after an argument. Sanders and Cornelius allegedly drove off in the SUV with two young children inside. The vehicle was later recovered, and the children were unharmed. The shooting victim remains hospitalized and could face charges for his role in the alleged drug deal as well. Finally, a documentary on one of America's most infamous historical figures is scheduled to air tonight on PBS. Jesse James is aimed at depicting the true story of the outlaw, according to writer, producer, and director Mark Zwanitzer.
He's sort of apprehended in this nation as a guy who was the Robin Hood of the West and a Western outlaw, and a guy with a six-shooter and a gunfighter robbing trains and banks out west. But in fact, he was really sort of, as T.J. Styles has described him, the last rebel, the last of the Confederates out there still fighting the good fight for the Confederate cause.
Jesse James was born and raised in Clay County, Missouri. Jesse James will air tonight on PBS. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by United States Customs and Border Protection. Protecting America from the threat of global terrorism requires the right men and women. It's a demanding job. Do you have what it takes? Are you up to the challenge? To learn more about becoming a United States Border Patrol agent, visit cbp.gov. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Tabs. Eastbound 40 in Hampton is a disabled vehicle on the exit ramp. Northbound 55 from 270 to Holly Hills, no problems there. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Guyer looks good. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason, traffic is building this hour. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge all the way to 367, everything is on the move. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to 44 looks good. And let's check some more here. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight looks good. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way to Blanchette Bridge. Everything is still on the move. Westbound 5570 split from 4th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split to Laclede's Landing looks good. And westbound 64 from Bow Avenue all the way onto the PSB looks good. Northbound Route 3 from Queenie to the Poplar Street Bridge. Those ramps are clear at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the world's leader in specialized financial staffing. When you need temporary accounting or financial help, call Account Temps. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly sunny, a high around 40 today. This evening, partly cloudy until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 40. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 20s. Then on Wednesday, partly sunny, then becoming mostly cloudy in the afternoon, a chance for flurries with a high in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear skies, we have 23 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 23 as well. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 14. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. Tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. Tell me, sister. For us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Somebody's got news for all of you. For people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. 314-454-0400 is another way to get at me. Also, I'm just a click away at revolution@lizbrown.com. We are streamed from Xenia to Zimbabwe, WGNU.net or lizbrown.com. And also, archived every single day at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org, streamed every single day. So if you've missed an hour of the Wake Up Call, that's all right. I'm not real mad at you. Go on over to whiterosesociety.org and pick up your hour. Also, we're iPodded at whiterosesociety.org as well. We're being told that stuff is good out there, that the job rate is up, that our economy is strong, that things are that a lot of new jobs have been created. Over the last year. That doesn't sound right to me, but I don't know everything. I'm just thinking about the announcement from Ford. What is it, 30,000 people will lose their jobs How does that impact a nation? I think one way to analyze how that impacts a nation is to break it apart, because this nation is comprised of different groups of people. And given the history of this country, given the history of this nation, given the history of the world, weight falls differently. The weight of the world falls differently on different groups. So we're going to take a moment this morning to talk about the decision to eliminate 30,000 jobs in America and how that impacts America by looking at the impact upon the community of African descent. And in order to do that, in order to facilitate that conversation, we're having joined the wake-up call this morning from Washington, D.C., John Schmidt. He's an economist for economic and policy research. John, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine.
Very good. John, can we talk about kind of a history of the representation of African Americans in unions and auto manufacturing, period? Can we start there?
Sure. I think that's a great place to start. If you go back to the end of the 1970s, about 1 in 50 African American workers in the United States were in the auto industry. It's really a tremendous number.
That's huge.
Over 2% of all African-American workers were in the auto industry. Over the last, since that period at the end of the 1970s, that rate has fallen by about a half. So we're down to just a bit over 1% of African-American workers. There's still a very large representation in that one sector. And that's one reason why the Ford layoffs are particularly tough for black workers in the country, because they do have such a solid representation in the auto manufacturing business. But what we've seen over the last 25 years or so is a big decline in that sector that has really hit African American workers hard. And it's happened parallel to two other big developments. One is an enormous decline in African American employment in manufacturing in general. You know, again, at the end of the 1970s, we had about one-fourth of black workers in the country in manufacturing, and that's fallen to about 10% now.
And describe what you mean by manufacturing.
Manufacturing it obviously includes things like autos and mm-hmm. auto parts, but and a lot of other kind of higher-end manufacturing jobs. But it also includes jobs that are less well-paid but still by comparison with the rest of the economy, they tend to be well-paid, for example, in textiles or other lighter manufacturing. It's traditionally been the most important source of middle-class jobs in the United States, and in particular that's because of another big trend that we've seen, which is a huge decline in unionization rates. Manufacturing jobs were always very well unionized, and that typically meant high wages and good benefits, which are sort of the entree into the middle class for a lot of people.
So when we look at this decline, because I think that, yes, there is a huge impact upon the community of African descent, given how many are in the industry itself. But I want to examine the drop prior to the layoff cuts. How do we explain that?
Well, I think that there's a couple of forces that are at play. One reason why across the board we have fewer manufacturing jobs today than we did, say, 25 or 30 years ago is just because U.S. manufacturing workers are so much more productive, so much more efficient. So to a certain degree, we're just able to make the same amount of goods or a lot more goods now than we used to with fewer workers. And that's a perfectly fine development. That doesn't necessarily mean a lot of problems or difficulties for society, but that's only part of the story. And the real problem is that we've seen a significant rise in competition with foreign workers who get paid a lot less money generally than we do here in the United States. And what that has meant is essentially putting our workers in direct competition with workers in other countries that get paid a lot less. And there's been some conscious decisions by manufacturing companies to relocate away from the United States and to lower paid parts of the world. And that has been quite disruptive. The other thing that's happened is even within manufacturing, and especially outside of manufacturing, we've seen such an assault on union organizing, and that's made it very difficult for any job, whether it's in manufacturing or non-manufacturing, to be to provide the kind of pay and benefits that we associate, you know, traditionally in this country with a middle-class standard of living.
And how does that track for job opportunities across the board?
Well, it would be one thing if we were losing jobs in manufacturing and everyone were getting jobs that paid well with good benefits in the service sector. And I think that that's the story that you often hear, is that this isn't really a problem because, you know, people are just transferring to other parts of the economy that are growing and vibrant. The truth is, though, that for some people that might be the case. Someone leaves a manufacturing job and gets a well-paying job in the service sector. But for the vast majority of people who, for example, lose their job in manufacturing, they find themselves either not finding a new job, or when they find a new job, it might not be full-time, that might be part-time. And when it is full-time, it often doesn't pay what the old job used to pay, and it doesn't have the kinds of benefits that the old job had either.
And we're also talking about an educational component, too, because what kind of educational requirements did these manufacturing jobs require as a whole?
Well, a lot of the manufacturing jobs that we've lost are obviously very skilled jobs,
mm-hmm.
but they typically don't involve, don't require having a college degree or even some college. Mm-hmm. Having a high school degree, or in some cases even less, was sufficient to get into a well-paying job that could provide the kind of benefits that you could build a family around. What has happened is, it's become much more difficult in the absence of those jobs for people that, for the vast majority of Americans who don't have a four-year college degree, to try and get into a living situation, to a work situation that provides a decent standard of living for their families.
And how many people are we talking about in the United States that have these jobs?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to measure this, but I think the first thing to look at that's relevant for a lot of people is just what the share of workers who are in unions are. So, because if you're in a union job, you typically have better than average pay, but much more importantly, in our country that doesn't have any kind of national health service,
right,
health insurance, it typically means you have health benefits.
And extraordinary health benefits.
Yeah. And that to me is probably the key. You know, even more than what a job pays, if you tell me that a job has health insurance, then I'm going to say, oh, that's a good job. It
mm-hmm.
probably also pays well, but that's the most important thing, single thing I can think of in terms of describing a good job. And if you look at the history of unionization in the United States over the last, say, 50 years, there's been there was a steady decline in unionization from about the 50s through the end of the 70s. And that was associated, I think, primarily with what I mentioned before. You just had a slight decline, steady decline in manufacturing sector, which was heavily unionized, primarily because of productivity growth. People were being more productive, so Ford could make just as many cars with fewer workers, and they laid some people off, and that hit the union rolls. But what's happened since the end of the 1970s, in particularly with the advent of Ronald Reagan when he came into power in the early 80s, so there's really been a tremendous shift that's been backed by the government and coordinated by a lot of big companies to go after unions and to really make it much more difficult for workers to organize and much more difficult for them to stay in the unions that they already had. And so we've gone from maybe a quarter of all workers in the United States in a union, a little bit more at the end of the 1970s, to just about 14% right now, and that's including overwhelmingly workers in the public sector. If you look just at the private sector, we're at 7 or 8% of workers are in unions, and we've seen a parallel development for African Americans. About a third of African American workers were in unions at the end of the 1970s. They're actually more likely to be in unions than any other group, and now that is still the case. African Americans are more likely to be in unions. But the figures dropped from about a third to about 17%, from 1 in 3 to about 1 in 6. And that has a big impact on the ability of particularly people who have less than a four-year college degree to get a good job that has health insurance and pays decently.
I mean, and I would even ask the question, are there good jobs out there outside of union types of jobs that give people, that for people like that?
Yeah,
any kind of real significant big way?
A while back, we did a study at our organization that tried to look at the share of good jobs in the country. And we did a very simple thing. We just said, does a job have health insurance? Does it have a pension benefit? And does it pay more than $32,000 a year, which a figure that we determined by looking at what the typical male worker made at the end of the 1970s and then adjusting it for inflation. And at the end of the 1970s, about a fourth of all jobs fit that description. And 25 years or so later, nowadays, if you look at the same numbers, it's shockingly, it's about 25% as well, which means 75% of the jobs that we have right now don't even meet that basic criteria that I set up. Mm. And given that we are about 60 or 70% wealthier now than we were at the end of the 1970s as a country, the fact that we have the same amount of good jobs defined, as I just said, as we did back then, I think is really indicative of how unequal our society has become over this last 25 years.
And looking at the this latest decision by Ford to eliminate 30,000 jobs, what's the impact of that? How do we measure the impact of that?
Well, I think we can look at it in two ways. First, what the impact on the workers that are going to face layoffs are. And we have a lot of evidence on that. And I mentioned it briefly a little earlier today, that when you lose a job in manufacturing, and we did an analysis last year of people who lose their jobs in manufacturing, what we found was that about a fourth of the African Americans specifically that we looked at who lost their jobs in manufacturing some period of time later, a year to 2 or 3 years later, were still not able to find a job. And of those who were able to find a job, some share found only a part-time job, and 60% found a full-time job to replace their old full-time job in manufacturing. But if you look at that group, over half of them took a pay cut that was substantial. And even among those who were able to keep their pay, a lot of them lost their health or pension benefits. So for the people who directly are affected by the layoffs, the picture is pretty grim. And then the second way we can look at it is to say what happens to the communities where these where the layoffs are concentrated. And that's where you see the impact on kind of the broader society of the ripple effects or the multiplier effects. These kinds of decisions are tremendously negative for the communities where the plants and facilities are located. They ripple through. People don't buy as much food. They don't go out to restaurants. They support their community less. They have less money to invest in their house and keep things up in their neighborhood. And, you know, this is something that, unfortunately, we're very familiar with, particularly in the Midwest, what happens when companies leave. We all know it's pretty bad news.
And in terms of the overall economy piece, how does this the loss of 30,000 jobs like this factor in? Is it a big deal in a country as huge as ours, economically speaking?
Well, 30,000 jobs in and of themselves are not going to make a big difference in an economy that has upwards of 140 million workers. But I think that it's one of these important markers where we have to stop and think and ask what's going on, because as we've seen from the longer-term data, this is another drop in a flood that has been taking place since basically the end of the 1970s, with big declines in manufacturing in general, big declines in auto manufacturing, big declines in unionization. And those 30,000 jobs will be very, very disruptive for the people who lose them. In and of themselves, those 30,000 jobs might not have a huge impact on the economy, but as part of a broader, longer trend that's just kind of killing us slowly each week or each month when new layoffs get announced.
Does a company like Ford, when they make an announcement of a $30,000 job loss, does that send a signal to other businesses out there, other corporations out there? Well, I can do it too. I should do it too.
Yeah, I think it does. And unfortunately, what it does, what happens a lot of times when companies make these kinds of announcements is, if you read the next day in the papers, you'll see that their stock prices are up.
Mm.
It's because investors are supposed to be thinking, "Wow, you know, they've taken tough measures and they're going after their workers, so that must be good for me since I'm the stock stock owner, I'm going to get more profits as a result of this. I think there's another way to look at it, which is these companies have made some terrible mistakes. I mean, in the case of Ford, they've made a lot of management-level mistakes, which the United Auto Workers have been complaining about, and rightly so, for some time. And they fail to see that these are actually, that these kinds of layoffs are indicative of broader, deeper problems, and maybe the stock price should be going down.
And, John, where can people find out more about this report?
Well, we have the report online at our website, which is the Center for Economic and Policy Research. The website is www.ceper.net.
And I want to thank you very much, John Schmidt, economist for economic and policy research, joining us from Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with us. 454-0400 is the phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's the long-distance number, and I'm a click away at revolution@lizbrown.com. Lizbrown.com, obviously, is the website. Stay with me.
I sting like a hornet. They won't let me have it. Not even here. No one else want it. If I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive. I can't sweat it, no, I got to get it, I'm the greatest man alive.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Westbound 270 at Washington Elizabeth. There's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 40 at Hampton. Disabled vehicle on the exit ramp. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and River to Bear. No problems reported. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Marshall. Look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley. You've got slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 between Mid Rivers Mall and Blanchett Bridge looks good. Westbound 5570 between 4th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge. There's slight delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split all the way into Euclid's Landing looks good. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Northbound Route 3 from Queenie onto the ramps to the Poplar Street Bridge. There's no problems to report. Eastbound 30 between Route PP. There's an accident that's been cleared. Traffic is easing this hour. Eastbound 370 between Elm and 94. Look for an incident cleared, and traffic has returned back to normal. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the industry leader in financial and accounting temporary staffing. Call or visit them today at accounttemps.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly sunny, high around 40 this today. For this evening, partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy, a low in the lower 20s. Moving on to Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 40. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 20s. Then on Wednesday, partly sunny early in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy in the afternoon. There's a chance for flurries on Wednesday. The high will be in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 23 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 22, and the wind chill makes it feel like it's 14. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Here's what we're talking about this morning on the Wake Up Call. At 8, Michael McConnell, Regional Director of the American Friends Service Committee, discusses what the Quakers have done to find out who the Pentagon is spying on and why they're doing it. Then at 9, we analyze the artificial sweetener aspartame and find out how this problematic substance got onto the market and why it stays there with Jim Turner, Director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy. It's a full day of listening for this first Monday in February, right here on your award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU Radio. As you know, we are in the process of changing and starting new things at WGNU. To make the most of what you have to say and to air the best part everyone wants to hear, our engineers will ask you the subject you want to talk about as we start a new screening process at AM 920. We want to bring out the issues that matter most to you. Thank you for your cooperation.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Talk radio station seeks volunteer callers. Age, race, and political persuasion not important. Flexible shifts. To respond, call Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU at 314-454-0400. No experience necessary.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the controversial artificial sweetener called aspartame. This substance is used in thousands of food products, but has a history of causing bad health reactions. Concerns have risen so much that a legislator in New Mexico is calling for his state to ban it completely. It was discovered by accident and only made it onto the marketplace with the help of one Donald Rumsfeld, even though the FDA had concerns about it 20 years ago. So why is it still being sold? We'll have an in-depth examination of the aspartame controversy with Jim Turner, director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy, on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm taking your calls at 1-877-920-WGNU or 454-0400. Also, I'm just a click away at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's Liz, L-I-Z-Z, Brown.com. Don't forget, Valentine's Day is coming up. You want to do something sweet for your sweetie? I know you do. Come on, show them what you got. How about this? A message to your sweetie. A happy Valentine's message to your sweetie on the wake-up call on Valentine's Day. All you have to do is call 367-2743, 367-2743. We'll help you do it. We will put it together for you. We will prepare it for you. We will produce it for you. And we'll have it up on the air for you on Valentine's Day. And we have all kinds of wonderful packages available for you, for depending upon how big of a message you want to have for your sweetie. So do this for your sweetie. Or do it for your son. Do it for your daughter. Do it for your friend. Do it for your boyfriend, for your girlfriend, all your friends. A wake-up call, a message on Valentine's Day on the wake-up call. Here's the number to call, 367-2743, 367-2743. On Valentine's Day, do something very special for someone you love, you care about. And if you are too shy, I'll do it for you. Just call me at 367-2743. I know some of you all are moving a bit slow this morning. I know some of you are crawling out of bed with a bit of a Super Bowl hangover. Some of you got your nighttime sleep schedule all messed up because you were partying hardy. in the atmosphere of the Super Bowl. After all, it was Super Bowl Sunday. Don't you think they? Don't you wish they would make a Super Bowl Saturday, so you'd have a next day to recover from it? Well, because this is the wake up call, I'm gonna try to interrupt your buzz off of the Super Bowl. Because there were some extraordinary things that happened in Detroit. Getting the Super Bowl is a big deal for a city and a city's economy. However, what happened in Detroit was really, as author, writer David Zirin, and we've had him on the show several times, wrote, a celebration of concentrated wealth is what you saw. Check this out. David Zirin writes that only a Bush speechwriter couldn't notice the gritty backdrops while limousines clog the streets and escort services are flying in female reinforcement like so much shellfish. Detroit, and there's no soft way to put this, is a city on the edge of the abyss. Detroit, its 2005 unemployment rate was 14%, more than 2.5 times the national level. The population of Detroit has plummeted from over 2 million in the 50s to fewer than 900,000, and more than one-third of the residents live under the poverty line, the highest rate in the nation. And in addition, the city has in the past year gotten rid of hundreds of municipal employees, cut bus and garbage services, boarded up 9 recreational centers. And as the Associated Press described it, much of the rest of Detroit is a landscape dotted with burned-out buildings where liquor stores abound, but supermarkets are hard to come by. Here's the thing that's just makes you just shake your head. But you need a reality check. You need a reality check amidst the glamour and the glitter of the Super Bowl. While the Super Bowl was going on, prior to the Super Bowl, there was a 30-day police speeding ticket bonanza designed to raise $1 million for the construction of a bridge welcoming the out-of-towners into the Motor City. Ain't that some stuff? The mayor, the governor, and every other notable got on the radio urging all the Detroit people to show them what you got, what that really means, how do you translate that. Don't further sully our already bad reputation. Check this out. This is the thing that is just remarkable. Blows your mind. And I want you to focus on this as you shake your heads clear of your Super Bowl hangovers where you had plenty of food. I know, you know, we did. Plenty of food. Plenty of good times, plenty of drinks, plenty of, it was a warm place, big screen television. So consider this. In Detroit, the homeless were given a 3-day Super Bowl party too. They were rounded up. They got actual food. They got actual shelter. Oh, yeah, and they're kicked out after the Super Bowl was over with. The homeless were actually rounded up. Lines formed before sunset. Dozens of men in dirty sweatshirts, old coats, worn-out shoes. They had to, check this out, they had to line up in the alley. So even at the shelter, there was a back door. Ain't that some stuff? Even at a shelter, the homeless had to line up for their Super Bowl party in Detroit. Because why? Not because they wanted to do something for the homeless, but they didn't want the world to see what Detroit really looks like. Ain't that some stuff? And today, while the most that all of us are doing that went to Super Bowl parties yesterday, the most that we're doing is regretting how much we ate, regretting how much we drank, regretting how late we stayed up, regretting how much we had to clean up afterwards. That's all we have on our minds. The homeless in Detroit, well, they're regretting that they're going to have to leave the shelters for that 3 lousy days that they were given of a reprieve. And not because anybody cared, but because people were ashamed of them. Think about that as you go about your business today. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're taking a break. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Stay with me.
Used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell low. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she'd say. Matthew, don't you whip that boy.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by
Alliance Financial Group. How do the rich get rich? Let Alliance Financial Group show you how. Call 381-8967.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline New York. One of the largest internet technology service vendors in the world is predicting the use of biometrics will increase significantly this year. A spokesman for Unisys says biometrics will be adopted on a larger scale for passports. It's also expected that other agencies that need to verify people's identities, such as driver's license bureaus and welfare agencies, may seek to incorporate this technology as well. Last year, Australia became one of the first countries on the planet to begin using biometric passports. The U.S. had originally planned to adopt their use last fall, but has now pushed it back to October of this year. Several countries in Asia already have plans in the works to start using biometrics for identity purposes in the very near future. Security at airports around the world is also demanding great advances in biometrics. One of the things you will soon see is 3D facial recognition that'll be able to accurately identify you with a two-dimensional image stored on your electronic passport. In a related note, although you may not have heard about it, at the Super Bowl yesterday, Homeland Security officials were on the premises in disguised vans that were outfitted with equipment that allowed for 3D holographic displays that showed them shadows, angles, depths, and details that were previously unavailable with conventional imaging devices. They also had new high-tech devices that unknowingly scanned people for facial recognition and feature matching. The images were instantly compared to a database containing the images of people who were considered to be a potential threat to national security. This Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you by Alliance Financial Group, 381-8967.
Would you like to earn $500 to $2,500 a month? Have you been turned down for a real estate loan because of bad or poor credit? Would you like to invest in real estate but you don't know how to get started? All you need is the right strategy. Let Alliance Financial Group show you how with a free financial presentation this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Airport Hilton Hotel. Seating is limited, so call 381-8967. 381-8967.
This is Pastor A.A. Boyd, a proud pastor of the Holy Olivet Baptist Church. I come on this radio station every Saturday, the Glory Time broadcast from 7 to 7:30. Will you turn me on? You'll certainly be glad you did. And God bless you.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
The hallmark of any successful business is growth, and the lack of it is the main reason why small businesses fail. That's why you can't afford not to advertise, because getting the word out about your business brings you new customers. And there's no more effective and affordable means of reaching those new customers than with WGNU Radio. Call our sales manager, Brian Kay, during regular business hours at 314-454-6660. He'll be glad to show you how WGNU can help your business grow and succeed.
Hello, my friend. This is Minister Ernest Greenlee inviting you to join me for good gospel music and church news you can use every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12 noon. The Holy Ghost take us to a higher level every week. So join me, Minister Ernest Greenlee, and receive a double portion every Saturday morning at 10:30 here on 920 WGNU.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the controversial artificial sweetener called aspartame. This substance is used in thousands of food products but has a history of causing bad health reactions. Concerns have risen so much that a legislator in New Mexico is calling for his state to ban it completely. It was discovered by accident and only made it onto the marketplace with the help of one Donald Rumsfeld, even though the FDA had concerns about it 20 years ago. So why is it still being sold? We'll have an in-depth examination of the aspartame controversy with Jim Turner, director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy, on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I've got a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. And it's a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop. And my faith will see me through.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get to me, 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz Brown.
Good morning.
I just had a couple of statements here on the manufacturing topic.
Yes.
I've been in the manufacturing business for most of my adult life, and I can say this Ford layoff is going to be it's big. It's going to hurt the families in a sense that a lot of the manufacturing companies today are hiring temporary personnel to replace a lot of the workforce. And they don't even get half the amount of pay that they used to, nor do they get the benefits. So that's definitely going to be an impact.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's going to be a huge impact. And also, I believe that psychologically, people are less prepared to fight it.
Yes. Okay, that's my
All right. Thank
my
you.
Deal of this morning.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
Kevin, good morning.
You know, I want to talk about the manufacturing. The problem with, I was hearing your last guest talk about, productivity and cheaper labor overseas. There's always been cheaper labor overseas. What happened was, when Kennedy attacked Hoffa, that's when it all started. And they dismantled that machine that they had in Washington, D.C. when it came to the union and workers' rights. And then when it came to Ronald Reagan just, knocked the rest of it off. So,
well, I mean, that's what the guest was saying. He was talking about it would begin with the destruction of the union piece.
In the 50s.
Right.
And it had to do with Kennedy, our buddy.
Okay.
But it had to also with Ronald Reagan.
Uh-huh.
But what the real problem is, because it's not the four workers being laid off, because most of them are going to go through attrition. That's in their union contract. It's through attrition. Some of those guys are so old, they should retire anyway. But the problem is that the tariffs, They don't charge enough to sell products to Americans, and they make us finance businesses that go overseas, because that's essentially what we're doing.
That's the politics of the times that we live in.
It's awful.
It
doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't.
Go out and vote for that Republican. Have a good day.
You know, that's the thing. You know, why would you? 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. There's a lot of is what General Motors is doing is they're reorganizing in China. I read where there's an axle company headed to Wall Street Journal, all statistics, but I don't have it in front of me. Makes axles for cars and trucks and that. And they're doing the same thing. They're closing down their operation here. You say they're going broke, but they're going to build a new plant in China. And I think if you check out Ford and General Motors, they've got billions hidden in foreign countries, Mexico and the Caribbean. And they claim they're going broke. All they're doing is reorganizing for China.
Well, it's interesting to me that right after they made their statement of their big layoffs and all of that, you had these wonderful new commercials on television all about trying to get people to buy Ford products. You know, we know that we've made some hard choices, blah, blah, blah. They have money. They have money, and the laws have allowed them to do what they're doing to the American people. That's politics.
Well, it's Delphi Corporation that makes parts for General Motors. And they're claiming, you know, they're going to cut these guys. They claim they're making $63 an hour, and they want to cut them down to 15. Well, I don't know if that's true or what the rates are there. But this Delphi is also reestablishing in Egypt and several other foreign countries.
All right.
It's just to bring America down, and our own corporations are doing it to us.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, Clark.
It's the wake up call. I went to the Super Bowl party yesterday because my boss always give me a split off day. I can never rest on a split off day. I had the fever and called in. Now, rather briefly. I live, down there in New York. I'm a writer. So I had the experience to live inside of the men's shelter down there. And, Liz, on the internet matter, they will have to hire a several battalions of people to eavesdrop on the Americans, and they will not be able in the long run to afford it. They will not be able to afford that amount of people. So, as you said, and you are right, that they are trying to justify its cost by charging additional fees in order to cover the eavesdropping on the Internet.
All right. Thanks for your call, Clark. Take
care
of yourself.
Have a good day.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the last call before the last one about this manufacturing job at Delphi and all that. You know, I retired from General Motors, and I went back to work in 83 after being off 4.5 years, and all I needed was 3 years to retire. And they still doing this 90-day wonder crap, hiring people, laying them off, getting a new group, or they like you, but you still leave them with no benefits. And this is still going on as I speak to you out there in Wentzville. And they have plenty of money, like the man said, where they want to go. They just want to build somewhere, and they made it quite known in our newsletter that this is what they're going to do. They're going to start making cars overseas, they say, because it's cheaper. That's the only way they can survive.
Okay.
But the people here in Ford and stuff, they've been talking to smack and carrying on, but they do also, they discriminate against blacks in hiring. They always have whites to come in and hire. Back in the 70s when we laid off and on, marching forth, and they were hiring still in whites when they wasn't cutting this 90-day kind of stuff. And they lied to us when we came from the bullet plant. They hired ahead of us, but it's still seniority. So General Motors has been very discriminating against black employees, period. So I don't have a faith in none of them. I tell people, hey, you don't catch hell out here now.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Don't forget, if you want to do something special for your sweetie, you can do that. And you can do it on the wake-up call. Be a radio star. Have a live Happy Valentine's message to your baby on the wake-up call on Valentine's Day. We'll do it for you. We'll produce it. We'll put it together. We'll write it for you. Just got to give us a little bit of information. Call 367-2743. 367-2743. Do that for Valentine's Day. Do something sweet for your sweetie. And here's a heads up for the 18th Ward monthly meeting. That's today at 6:30. Chief Sherman George, Chief of the St. Louis Fire Department, will be the guest speaker today. That's at 6:30. The address is 711 North Euclid. All are welcome. Come on out. This is the 18th Ward monthly meeting. Refreshments will be served. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. The government is spying on the Quakers? Things must be pretty bad out there, pretty bad. If they're spying on the Quakers, what do you think you have coming? Well, we're going to be talking to Michael McConnell. He's the regional director of the American Friends Service Committee. He's going to be talking about the government spying on the Quakers and what the Quakers are doing to bump back. This is Liz Brown. You don't want to miss that. Join us in the next hour. I'll be back.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution begin,
that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Unnecessary weapon in the war on terror or a violation of the right to privacy?
There are a number of checks and safeguards to ensure that the privacy interests of all Americans are being protected.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez on the president's domestic surveillance program. It allows the National Spy Agency to listen in on some conversations without first obtaining a court warrant. Today, the Senate Judiciary Committee opens hearings on the issue. ABC's Vic Ratner has a preview.
Look for some sharp battles with some Republican and Democratic senators challenging the Attorney General's claim that domestic eavesdropping without a court order is constitutional. Leading up to the Senate hearing, the Justice Department is refusing to turn over some documents that senators say would shed new light on constitutional questions.
Gonzalez testifies today. Now she says she's just like everyone else again. The world's first partial face transplant recipient answered reporters' questions today.
Her nose, lips, and chin came from a deceased donor. She made a point today of effusively thanking both the donor and her family, and also, of course, thanking the doctors who performed this incredibly complicated surgery. They say that what's going to take the longest now is her relearning to use her facial muscles.
ABC's Jim Sciutto in Amiens, France. Federal jury selection today in Alexandria, Virginia. Those picked will decide if the only person charged in the 9/11 attacks gets the death penalty. Zacharias Moussaoui pleaded guilty to all counts against him. In case you didn't know...
Here we go! Pittsburgh just won the Super Bowl.
The 21-10 victory over Seattle is the fifth championship for the Steelers. So, Coach Bill Cowher, could you have predicted it? He says 8 weeks ago, maybe not. It's also the last stop for the bus. Pittsburgh's Jerome Bettis retired after the game, which was played in his hometown of Detroit. This is ABC News.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. If you have $4, $6, $10,000 in credit card bills, find out how quickly your debt can be paid off. Callers save an average of 30% in payments every month. So gather your bills and call now for a personal debt analysis. Licensing details available. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-695-9092. That's 1-800-695-9092.
Some people think the best part of the Super Bowl is not the game, it's the commercials, and this one's getting a lot of attention.
Hey, the guys are coming over to watch a game. Aren't you worried about them drinking all the Bud Light?
Not to worry. Look what I had installed.
For the first time, some of the ads are targeted directly at women. This obviously was not one of them.
Guys, hurry up! The Magic Fridge is back!
Refreshingly smooth Bud Light. Always worth it.
Magic Fridge.
For the ones that were more female-friendly, when was the last time you saw Fabio in a Super Bowl commercial? He showed up last night. Love doesn't come cheap. The National Retail Federation says we'll spend more this Valentine's Day than we ever have before, just under $101 on an average. That's up from the $97 most of us spent last year. And yes, we women buy for our sweeties, too. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Update of WGNU News. This report is brought to you by heatupstlouis.org. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news this morning, a former Alton resident is dead after a weekend crash in Madison County. 50-year-old Mark Schwann had recently moved to Tomahawk, Wisconsin, and was in the area on business to visit with family. Around 10 o'clock Saturday morning, Schwann's SUV traveled off Morrow Road in Morrow Township and crashed into the embankment of Indian Creek. He was pronounced dead at the scene. In University City, careless smoking is suspected as the cause of a weekend fire at an apartment complex. The fire broke out Saturday evening in a second-floor apartment in the 6400 block of Olive. One person was taken to an area hospital, but has since been released. Nearly a dozen apartments suffered smoke and water damage. The Red Cross is helping the residents find new places to stay. In Illinois, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin wants to see more funds allocated for the low-income heating assistance program. Durbin visited with a Cahokia woman Friday in order to call attention to the fact that many people who are eligible for the assistance are not getting it. Durbin says LIHEAP is not getting enough funds because of the terrible deficit from the war in Iraq. Statistics indicate that the fiscal year 2006 funding for LIHEAP only allowed states to help 5 million out of 32 million eligible people. In other news, one of the most dangerous stretches of highway in the state of Missouri is now a travel safe zone. As a result, Interstate 55 from north of Route Z to Route 67 will be under increased law enforcement. Tom Miller, a spokesperson with the Missouri Department of Transportation, says it's up to motorists to obey all signs in the area. He says the goal is to reduce the crash rate by 10% in the first year, and that other travel safe zones like the one on Interstate 44 near Six Flags have been very successful. And finally this hour, diabetics run the risk of more serious heart problems due to the fat consumed by their heart. A new study out of the Washington University School of Medicine shows that's due to the high-fat diet that the diabetic heart muscle consumes. Dr. Robert Gropler, a professor of medicine at Washington University, says the diabetic heart lives more off of fat than it does sugar. The results of the study appear in the current issue of the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. That's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by heatupstlouis.org. Help keep the needy warm on those cold winter days. Area religious congregations are encouraged to give generously with special contributions for the Heat Up Super Bowl Collection Drive taking place this week. I'm Peyton Colston reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Westbound 270 at Washington Elizabeth. That accident's been cleared to the shoulder. However, traffic still jams back to Lilac. Northbound 55 at Lindbergh and River de Pere. Look for no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from 141 all the way to the Merrimack River Bridge. Looks good. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. Slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes 79, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to 44 is slow in pockets. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, no problems there. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall, the Blanchett Bridge looks good. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, expect delays this hour. Northbound 270 at 40, disabled vehicles on the right shoulder and is causing a bit of a backup. Westbound 5570 split from 4th Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way to Cleves Landing looks good. Westbound 64 to 5570 split all the way onto the PSB looks good. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for no problems to report. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps. Call today for a free 2006 salary guide and find out the latest salary ranges for the accounting and finance profession. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 40. This evening, partly cloudy until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy, low in the lower 20s. Moving on to Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming sunny by the afternoon, a high around 40. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy, a low in the lower 20s. Then on Wednesday, partly sunny early in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy by the afternoon, a chance of flurries, and the high will only reach the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 24 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 24 as well. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's a crisp 15 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Human revolution in the air. I think I'm human revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I sister? I think I'm human revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I sister? It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, there's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Amidst the numbers, and I find them shocking. I find them disappointing. I find them scary. Scary is not even a big enough word. It is horrifying. That when I was watching the Sunday morning talk show yesterday, and I was listening to the talking heads, all white male heads, by the way, all conservative white male heads talking on the Meet the Press segment of the Sunday morning talk show spiel. And they were talking about our government, our good government, spying on American citizens without warrants. And I'm telling you, as an attorney, There is no, it's just phenomenal to me that they, that it's too hard for the government to get a warrant from a retroactive warrant from a secret court. That's just terrifying. That's mind blowing that our government is arguing, looking us in our face and saying it's too hard to get a retroactive warrant from a secret court to spy on us. Huh. Whew, but I was watching them. And they were saying yesterday that the American people apparently have no problem with this. The poll numbers are showing that 50-something percent, 51, 52, 40 to 48 percent or something like that of Americans have no problem with our government spying on us without warrants. No problemo is what they're saying. Although the talking white male heads on the Meet the Press... God, the diversity of conversation is so absent on those shows, but that's another show. But what they did not talk about was there was a second follow-up. Can I ask one more? Can I have a follow-up, Mr. President? Questions that were asked of the American people. And they said, well, yeah, you can spy on other people, but I don't want you spying on me. Messed up in the head. Messed up in the head. Yeah, you can spy on the them out there, but you can't spy on the me. I'm looking at other articles saying that the surveillance net that has been thrown out by this particular administration that has bungled just about every single thing that they have done to make us safer, they've bungled it. It should come as no surprise to anyone that the intelligence officers who've eavesdropped on thousands of Americans in overseas calls under the authority from George W. Bush have dismissed nearly all of them. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it was a fishing expedition. You were the fish. And you've all been released. Because you weren't the fish that they were looking for, ain't that? So I guess it's just catch and release. With our good government. Well, if it comes as no surprise to you that most of the people that our good government have been spying on, good American citizens that our government has been spying on have been caught and released, if it comes as no surprise that they've bungled that as well, then it shouldn't come as any surprise to you that some of the fish that they've been after are people like 76-year-old grandmothers that are members of the Quakers. It should come as no surprise. We need to talk about that. Because really the only way to deal with this, the only way to confront this is to challenge this, to holler loudly about this, and to get into the courts and to stop this. And before we get to our guests, I just have to add as an aside, how smug and confident this administration is in its ability to bamboozle us. When the Attorney General, the biggest lawyer in the country, the most powerful lawyer in the country, talks in a patronizing tone to the press and says, well, I look forward to this opportunity, because he's being asked to speak before Congress today in front of some angry Republican and Democratic senators. When Alberto Gonzalez speaks in such a patronizing tone to the press and says, I look forward to this opportunity to really just to explain, to make it clear. So I'm going to explain it so that they can understand it about how good this is for our nation. For George W. Bush to have the ability to spy on us without making an effort to get a warrant, a retroactive warrant, from a secret court. We're the stupid ones. We're the ones that don't get it. And he's going to break it down in simple first grade words, I guess, so that they finally get it. Ooh, there's trouble in River City, y'all. Trouble in River City. We need to talk about this. And I have joining me on the wake-up call this morning, I have Michael McConnell, Regional Director of the American Friends Service Committee, joining us from Chicago, Illinois. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Good. I couldn't agree with you more.
70-year-old grandmas that are Quakers?
Well, this is what we're really worried about. If they're spying on Quakers and the American Friends Service Committee, which is a Quaker organization, then no one is safe.
No one is safe. No one is. And Michael, how hard is it to go get a retroactive warrant from a secret court?
Well, that's exactly the point. I mean, the Bush administration is making these claims like, well, it was inconvenient and it would slow us down. And yet this whole law, even written in the 70s, to stop warrantless spying like on Martin Luther King and many people in the civil rights and anti-war movement back then, this was very streamlined. So you could start spying and find out this was somebody you want to follow, and you go get a warrant. You're right, it's retroactive. It doesn't even slow you down 1 second.
Not at all. Not one single. And it's a secret court, so nobody has to find. Nobody ever has the right to find out what happened.
Right. And so we have moved so far toward an authoritarian monarchy, dictatorship, whatever you want to call it, by this kind of consolidation of power, where they don't have to answer to anybody. That's the fear. We're just moving in this direction.
Talk to us about, take us back to the issue that gave rise to the fact that the AFSC has, that the American Friends Society has filed a lawsuit. Take us to the beginning.
Well, it goes back. AFSC was founded in 1917, and as early as 1921, the FBI were spying on it. And we have like over 1,700 pages of documents. We've had more cases recently in Denver. The FBI and the Joint Terrorism Task Forces and the local police were spying on AFSC and a number of other anti-war groups in Denver.
Michael, we're having a really difficult time in hearing you. What I'd like to do is I'm going to put you on hold and try to reconnect again, because we're having a really difficult time with the connection that we have with you.
Okay,
so let me put you on hold, and we're going to let Howard get to you, and we're going to try to do this over again. This is an amazing thing that we are dealing with. And the interesting thing is that with the American Friends Service Committee, we're talking about a secret Department of Defense database. And a database that has that is loosely related to potential terrorist threats. And the question becomes, how do you get into this database? Who is in this database? Michael, welcome back.
Okay, thanks, Liz.
Much better, much better. Okay, so take us back again to the 70s.
More recently in Denver in 2002, the Denver police were spying on AFSC and other anti-war groups. The Chicago police were infiltrating AFSC and other groups in 2002 in Chicago. We've had an undercover cop in Cleveland who posed as a freelance photographer, taking photos at events, anti-war events, and also attending meetings. But the one instance that really set us off was, I think you were talking about, the NBC released information that there was a Pentagon database, and it's absolutely illegal for the military to spy against citizens domestically.
Jesus, why would the military do this? When did we become the enemy?
Well, it seems like there was a lot of concern about counter-recruitment work, truth in recruitment, trying to tell the other side to people possibly joining the military. And so these were incidents at sometimes military bases, sometimes only recruiting offices, and sometimes only planning for, for example, in Cleveland and Akron, there was one event at a military recruitment office that they somehow surveilled. And then there was another event planning counter demonstrations at the inauguration last January. and these were all part of the Pentagon database, that there was some kind of surveillance.
But I also think that it's important right now, Michael, to underscore the fact that the title to this DOD database, this Department of Defense database, is a database that is related to, quote-unquote, potential terrorist threats.
That's right.
Now, these are Americans in a terrorist threat database, Americans that wanted to protest the inauguration.
Right. And so it's all a violation of the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. This is what our country was based on. We wouldn't have had a civil rights movement, a women's movement, an anti-war movement in the past. We wouldn't even have a country, frankly, if we didn't believe in these basic principles of freedom of speech and assembly. And yet, this is exactly what is being attacked right now. And
tell us about this, the group in Lake Worth, Florida.
Well, this was a group. It was doing, again, truth in recruitment work. A lot of groups around the country now are trying to get into schools, and the military recruiters are there. They're there every day. They have gifts to hand out. They talk to people about the benefits of military service, and we. And groups like us try to go in and at least tell the other side, you know, you're probably going to go to combat. You'll probably have to kill people. You will also possibly be killed. And only one out of five young people ever take advantage of the college money, for example, that's so highly touted by the military before you enter. And so we try to tell people those facts so that they, and this is why the Pentagon was in spying on this group meeting in a Quaker meeting house in Lake Worth, Florida, that they were telling people the other side of the military recruitment.
Now, how was the spying committed? What did they do?
Well, see, that's what we are trying, that's what we're filing FOIA claims, Freedom of Information Act claims, to try to find out exactly why or how they were doing it. The database itself is very skimpy on details. There are obviously many reports behind this database.
So you are responding to this. The American Friends Service Committee is responding to this because of information that you got about this database. You would have never known but for this database.
That's exactly right. And this is like the very, very tip of the iceberg. Because behind that database, there has to be a lot of documents. And I actually talked to one person who was part of the original church investigation back in the 70s that ended up writing the laws to keep the Pentagon and the military from spying on citizens and to keep the executive branch from warrantless searches. And he was saying that this kind of thing that they have now, once you get in one database, you are just churned over into all these other databases. There's the NSA, the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, Department of Energy, FBI, CIA, and all these groupings have access to all the data that's being collected by anybody. So I think what's much more frightening today than in the past with computers and all the databases is that that stuff stays around.
And it's impossible to get rid of it.
Well, they were supposed to have, this Department of Defense database, they were supposed to have erased it after so many days, 90 days, I believe, if there wasn't any threat. And yet here someone has it, it's still there, it still exists, and who knows where else it's gone.
And because this is the year 2006, not only is it technologically possible to end up in a lot more places than you could end up in the 70s, but there's a lot more, there are far more ways for the government to impact on your life about this. I mean, you could end up on a no-fly list because of this, and you can't fly on a plane.
That's right.
And that didn't happen in the 70s. That couldn't happen in the 70s.
That's right. That's right. No, it's like you said, it's horrifying. It's beyond scary because I think you're right that people have to begin to be speaking up about this. The only people talking right now are the administration. Mm-hmm. I think that's why these hearings are important, and that's why we're also pushing for a special counsel to get it out of even Congress at this point, because so much pressure is being put on our inspector. I mean, he's holding up to it right now, but we need some independent counsel that can actually subpoena records. the Bush administration is refusing to release how many people have been spied on. What are we talking about here? The New York Times is saying at least 5,000. They've heard of thousands of people when the kinds of leads, even the FBI is saying, we're inundated with all these leads that don't go anywhere, which is taking them away from doing their real job, which is to make the nation secure. So, in fact, even if people don't care about the civil liberties, the other fact is this is not making the nation more secure. It's making us more insecure because the FBI and all the people following these false leads are taken off of where they should be.
And the lawsuit that you have filed, tell us about that.
Well, we haven't filed a lawsuit yet. Well, all we're doing now is filing the FOIA claim. We feel we need more information because we need to know the methods that they're using to spy on people. For example, back in the 70s in Chicago, there was actually a bug underneath the conference table in the AFSC offices. Mm. We were able to then file a lawsuit against the Chicago police for illegal surveillance. So we need to know as much as possible. There are two lawsuits. One was filed by the Center for Constitutional Rights and the other by the ACLU against the NSA. We may do something like that in the future because we also make overseas calls. We have staff in Jordan. We
Absolutely.
Had staff in Iraq. And so we're contemplating that. But right now, it's been mostly journalists who have filed claims.
Okay, and I need you to hold that thought, Michael, because we have to take a break.
Sure.
I'm talking to Michael McConnell. He's the regional director of the American Friends Service Committee, joining us from Chicago. We're talking about our government spying on us. This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. Stay with us.
Them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is new. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Westbound 270 at Washington Elizabeth, that accident is cleared. Traffic still jams at Lilac. Eastbound 70 at 79 in Mid Rivers Mall. There's an accident. Left lane is blocked and traffic backs up through Route K. Northbound 55 between 270 and Loughborough, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to 270 looks good. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley looks for no problems to report there. Northbound 270 from Gravois to Marshall, it is still congested a bit, but everything is on the move. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and 170 look for no problems to report. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from Tudor to Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing. Look for slight delays. Westbound 64 between 5570 and the PSB looks good. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Everything is on the move now. Big Ben at Wydown. Look for an injury accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps. Call today for a free 2006 salary guide providing the latest finance and accounting hiring outlook. Top skills in demand, and much more. Call today, Account Temps. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 40 this evening, partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy, a low in the lower 20s. Moving on to Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 40 Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. And then on Wednesday, partly sunny in the morning, but becoming mostly cloudy by the afternoon. Chance of flurries, the high will only be in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 23 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 24, both under clear skies. Windchill makes it feel like it's 17. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. Stick around for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU Radio. As you know, we are in the process of changing and starting new things at WGNU. To make the most of what you have to say and to air the best part everyone wants to hear, our engineers will ask you the subject you want to talk about as we start a new screening process at AM 920. We want to bring out the issues that matter most to you. Thank you for your cooperation.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
We, the believers at Al-Mukminun Islamic Center, would like to invite and encourage you to join us for our Saturday morning program, Focus on Al-Islam, 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., featuring the son of Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, his public addresses and lectures on Islam and values of social well-being to the community of humanity. That's Focus on Al-Islam, every Saturday morning from 8 to 8:30 a.m. on WGNU Radio.
Hi, it's Kevin
and Sue McCarthy
of the Travel Planner Show. Every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
If you have a travel question, we'll try to find the answer for you.
Tell a friend and tune us in 2 to 4 Saturday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Alfred Burley, your host of the German Hit Parade radio program. Heard every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 here on WGNU. Enjoy the beautiful melodies and timely news from Germany as we make your Sunday afternoon just a little bit brighter. The German Hit Parade is the longest-running German program on radio in St. Louis, and I hope you make it part of your weekend listening every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Oh, all right, folks. It's almost Valentine's Day. What are you going to do that's special for your sweetie? You're going to do this. You're going to do something different. You're going to have a Valentine's Day shout-out, a Valentine's Day message, a love message to your loved one right here on the wake-up call. It's so easy to do. All you have to do is call 367-2743, 367-2743, and we'll show you how. We'll walk you through the process to have a Valentine's message for your sweetie. How powerful is that? How wonderful is that? Call 367-2743. Do something special. Do something unique. Be a radio star for your sweetie. Show the world. Let the world know how much you love your baby. 367-2743. Do that.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the controversial artificial sweetener called aspartame. This substance is used in thousands of food products, but has a history of causing bad health reactions. Concerns have risen so much that a legislator in New Mexico is calling for his state to ban it completely. It was discovered by accident and only made it onto the marketplace with the help of one Donald Rumsfeld, even though the FDA had concerns about it 20 years ago. So why is it still being sold? We'll have an in-depth examination of the aspartame controversy with Jim Turner, director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy, on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. We have so much stuff to talk about. I'm talking this morning, this hour, to Michael McConnell. He's the regional director of the American Friends Service Committee, and he's joining us from Chicago. And we're talking about our good government spying on us. Michael, welcome back.
Thanks, Liz. Good to be back.
Let's talk about the historical connect with this. I want to emphasize that a little bit more because it's not hard to predict how wrong this is because they've done it to us before.
That's right. And, I mean, we have, Well, you know, you can go back to the 20s with a quote, Red Scare, where many political activists were rounded up and arrested, Eugene Debs included, when he spoke out against the First World War for peace. But the McCarthy era certainly is better known, and where there was a communist under every bed, and Senator McCarthy was holding hearings, and people had to testify, were you a communist, were you ever a member of the Communist Party? And I actually have documents that have AFSC surveillance of peace activities, like Ban the Bomb marches in the 50s and 60s. And there was police surveillance, and they had listed people's license plate numbers, who they were, what they did, and then they had in parentheses communist or communist sympathizer. And they even had Negro, you know, some. They had all of these labels that they put to everybody, and these were part of the Chicago police intelligence files. And this is the 50s, 60s, and then in the 70s, the COINTELPRO. I mean, there were many Black Panther Party members who were killed. There were agent provocateurs in infiltrating. There was all kinds of surveillance against Martin Luther King and other African-American leaders.
And if we can just kind of underscore that for a second so that people can really feel this, Martin Luther King was considered a person worthy of being spied on by our government. If Martin Luther King is worthy of being spied upon by our government, good God, what do the rest of us have coming?
Well, that's exactly right. And anybody who was critical of the government, who was active trying to change either the laws like civil rights issues or stopping the war in Vietnam, this was all fair game, supposedly, at that time for surveillance. And so there, Frank Church, senator, held hearings to look into this surveillance. And as they found out more and more what was being done, Congress at the time in the late 70s passed legislation to outlaw the military spying domestically, to outlaw these warrantless searches where people could just, you know, the government could just go spy on somebody without getting a warrant. And that's when this whole FISA court was developed and that there was a law. I mean, yesterday I think even our inspector said Bush has broken the law.
Yes.
And there's no question about it because this law that was instituted in the 70s is absolutely been broken.
And the other piece of it is that the way that this administration is addressing this, they've gone on as if this is a campaign issue instead of an issue of whether or not the law has been broken. It matters not, does it, that American people are accepting of them? It appears that a majority of Americans are accepting of this. It's the law. The law has been broken. That's the issue, isn't it?
It is the issue. And I'm optimistic, hopeful that this will come out, especially with some hearings and people speaking out, calling their legislators. I think it's very, very important, as you said, we have to holler and make ourselves known about this. And the way it's been characterized, the Bush administration is saying, well, if, you know, if somebody's talking to Al-Qaeda, we want to know. But the net has been so broad. If thousands of people have been put in this net and maybe not getting out for a long time if that database net goes deep.
Mm. And also it's a lie. It's disingenuous. It's inaccurate for this administration to say if we want to find out if the Al-Qaeda are here and we need to know about them. The fact of the matter is that they're allowed to get retroactive warrants. So
right.
Nothing prevents them from finding Al-Qaeda as if they have in the past.
That's right. That's right.
So I want to address really quickly here. Going back to Lake Worth in Florida, where there were five Quakers and a 79-year-old grandmother who met at their Quaker meeting house to discuss how to protest military recruiting at an area high school. And you found out about this by happen chance, about the information that was in a DOD, a Department of Defense database. Does this have an impact, Michael, on the efforts of good tax-paying, love-their-country citizens to organize, because going through the minds of the 79-year-old grandmother, the other five Quakers that were there, is, my God, do I have to go into my room and look under every chair and check every window, or is the 79-year-old grandmother, she a spy? Does this have an impact on organizational efforts?
Well, I think that's one of our greatest fears, is that this could have a chilling effect on all kinds of dissent and freedom of speech, public protest, exercising of our legitimate First Amendment rights. People see this and they think, I don't want to be in a database. I don't want to be spied on. And they're stepping back or become suspicious of other people. And I think democracy depends on dissent. Mm-hmm. In fact, we were born out of dissent, this nation. Mm-hmm. And we have to safeguard the right and the willingness of people to say, this isn't right. I want to speak up, and I have the freedom to speak up. And that's at the core of our democracy. You go back to the Revolutionary War, and colonists had to take British soldiers into their houses, and the British soldiers would just come in and search and seize things. And that's why before the Constitution was signed by all of the states, people said, we want the Bill of Rights in there. We're not going to sign this Constitution until you write down the Bill of Rights that we can sign also. And that was one of the fundamental Bill of Rights against warrantless searches and seizures.
And we have to take a break. When we come back, Michael, I'd like to talk about how hopeful you are about the filing of the FOIA request. I'm talking to Michael McConnell, the regional director of the American Friends Service Committee, joining us from Chicago. We're talking about spying on Americans by our good government. We're here to take your phone calls at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. I'll be back.
I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true. Cause you're my bad brother, strong brother, and there is no one above you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by
Alliance Financial Group. How do the rich get rich? Let Alliance Financial Group show you how. Call 381-8967.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Monrovia. The new president of Liberia has fired a number of finance ministry officials in an effort to eradicate corruption in that country. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf says a dozen people in that department have been let go because corrupt practices in that branch has embarrassed the country in front of the world. She's told the fired ministers they have to remain in Liberia until an audit is complete. In the last few weeks, reports of widespread looting of government offices have emerged, with people said to be taking nearly everything, including the carpeting and light fixtures. The president, who was elected just last month, said those who are part of such scandals must move out of the way for the good of the Liberian people. When she was inaugurated, Johnson Sirleaf said corruption was a cancer that was eating up the riches of Liberia. The country only has a population of 3 million people, yet roads are in horrible shape, the telephone system is nearly non-existent, and there is no national electricity grid or infrastructure for supplying drinking water. Liberia engaged in a civil war with Sierra Leone for over a dozen years until ex-President Charles Taylor was exiled from the country in 2003. And Dateline Washington. The Washington Post reported over the weekend that the Pentagon has come out with a 20-year strategy that projects U.S. troops deployed in dozens of countries at the same time, fighting terrorism and other threats to democracy. This plan calls for a large increase in special operations forces, a doubling of unmanned surveillance aircraft, and budgeting $1.5 billion for countermeasures against biological attack. Part of that money would develop more new special forces units that would locate, track, and take out catastrophic weapons that pose a threat to America. This 92-page report was developed on what the United States learned from its incursions into Iraq and Afghanistan, where the military has been able to handle combat on two fronts at the same time, all the while overthrowing a hostile government in one of them. This strategy is based on no net increases in troop levels and no major cuts or additions to weapons systems. A defense spokesperson said at a briefing on Friday that American forces will very likely be in action someplace other than where they currently are at some point within the next 10 years. This is your Wake-Up Call Global News Update, brought to you by Alliance Financial Group, 381-8967.
Would you like to earn $500 to $2,500 a month? Have you been turned down for a real estate loan because of bad or poor credit? Would you like to invest in real estate but you don't know how to get started? All you need is the right strategy. Let Alliance Financial Group show you how with a free financial presentation this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Airport Hilton Hotel. Seating is limited, so call 381-8967. 381-8967.
Anything you want to know about the Jewish religion is available every Sunday night at 7 on the Torah Judaism with Tali broadcast. Naftali Ben Reuben brings you a teaching and instructional program that gives you a comprehensive understanding of the Jewish religion and its customs. Don't miss Torah Judaism with Tali, Sunday nights at 7, right here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
The Philharmonic Society of Belleville is celebrating its 139th anniversary concert on Sunday, February 12th at 3 p.m. The concert takes place at the Alberts Banquet Hall. Reserved seating and reception tickets are available by calling 618-235-9461. Tickets for the concert only are available for $12 for adults, $10 for seniors, and $5 for students. They are available by calling 618-233-5551 or 618-277-1504. You can also order tickets online at bellphil.com. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hi, this is Jenny Peterson. I show up now and then on my favorite radio station, WGNU. I hope you'll be there, too. We'll let you know when I'll be on. Keep listening. California,
next on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the controversial artificial sweetener called aspartame. This substance is used in thousands of food products, but has a history of causing bad health reactions. Concerns have risen so much that a legislator in New Mexico is calling for his state to ban it completely. It was discovered by accident and only made it onto the marketplace with the help of one Donald Rumsfeld, even though the FDA had concerns about it 20 years ago. So why is it still being sold? We'll have an in-depth examination of the aspartame controversy with Jim Turner, director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy, on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
All alone, I was lost in the world of strangers. No one to trust. On my own, I was lonely. You suddenly appeared.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. We're talking about spying by our good government on us, warrantless spying by us. And our guest this morning is Michael McConnell, Regional Director of the American Friends Service Committee, joining us from Chicago. Let me get to a caller or two. Dimitri, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, I do, Liz. I just want to turn our radio down.
Yes.
This business about spying on American citizens, I just want to present a kind of scenario and ask him to respond to it. If the same technology, I know the same technology that the FBI uses to spy on American citizens is also available to American citizens. Now, using the premise that a person endangers the freedom and democracy in this country, what if a private citizen spied on an American senator or a congressman? Would he be held culpable if the government can break the law? Can't the citizen break the law? And then my question to you, sir, is this. If senators and congressmen feel that they're under scrutiny by American citizens and that information could be disclosed, Don't you think this is the quickest way to kill the Patriot Act? Thank you. I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Okay. Well, it's very difficult to take on the government at its own means. I think what citizens need to demand is that the U.S. government obey its own laws, and that and to organize people to speak out against this particular surveillance and also against the Patriot Act that is encroaching more and more on our freedoms. So I think we have the tools at our disposal, not the spy tools, but rather the democracy tools where, you know, people are elected, and when they don't follow our will, they get unelected. And we have to strengthen that democratic muscle in this country so that we can take back this government for the people, by the people, and not against the people.
The FOIA requests that you have filed, explain to the audience what those are, and then talk to us about what do you really expect to happen after those requests have been filed.
Well, the Freedom of Information Act was passed partly in all of the, as a result of all of this spying, and that citizens have the right to find out what information their government has on them. So people can file a claim and get files back. Liz, I'm a little less hopeful about what we're going to find. For example, we just got our FBI files for the AFSC Chicago office back a couple months ago. It was from 1985 to 1990. They released about 73 pages. 48 of the pages they did not release. They didn't even give us one thing. And on the rest of the pages, all they had was the date.
Everything was redacted.
Everything was redacted except the date. So this was this was like 15, 20 years ago. And that's the kind of information we got on our FBI FOIA request. So I'm afraid that they're going to redact a lot of material. So,
And for the audience, redaction means is that you've seen it on television where you have this sheet of paper with these black lines through it that you can't see anything in there. Redacted.
That's right. And so I'm more hopeful about, as I said, the democratic process and people beginning to speak out against this. That's how Nixon finally was taken out of power, the investigations and so forth, because I'm afraid that they still control a lot of the information we have. And through subpoenas and through hearings is probably a better way to get at the information that the administration is refusing to release at this point.
And in terms of the aggression of this administration and the method that this administration is using, a almost a political campaign to drive up the numbers of the poll numbers of support on this, do you see that having any kind of real impact?
Well, I think what they're doing now is the same thing they did to go into Iraq, which is build up the fear level of the U.S. population. And when people are afraid, they tend to go toward an authoritarian figure who's going to say, I will protect you, or we're protecting you. And I think people have to realize that the only thing that Trump's fear is hope, and that's hope in our sense of democracy, our sense of rights, and that we have to begin to exercise those and demand that our government obey the law and stop this illegal wiretapping and spying, and also stop lying about the reasons they go to war and so forth. So it's all of one piece. We have to somehow band together and say fear is not going to win the day.
And if people want to find out more information about the American Friends Service Committee, Michael, where would they go?
Yeah, they just go to afsc.org on the Internet. There's a lot of material there about all the activities we do. We do have an office in St. Louis.
Yes, you do.
As well.
Yes, you do. And we have a great relationship with them. Michael, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call this morning.
Oh, thank you, Liz. Keep it up. You're right on. We need more shows like this.
Thank you. Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I just want to remind you that in the next hour, we're going to be talking about aspartame. Put your diet sodas down. Put your little Nutri-Bars away. I believe that you're not going to be sipping any more soda after you listen to our Mondays at 9 show coming up in just a minute or two. And also, I want to remind you all, if you have a Valentine's wish that you want to give to someone, even if you may be a little bit shy and you want to let somebody know how much you care about them, do it on the wake-up call. We're going to have a special Valentine's Day wake-up call where we play your Valentine's I love you messages, I like you, I'm digging on you messages right here on the wake-up call. Let me tell you how you can get that done. 367-2743. That's 367-2743 for a special wake-up call Valentine's Day wish message shout out. I'm Liz Brown. Coming up in the next hour is Mondays at 9, all about aspartame and why the state of New Mexico may be the first state in the union to ban it in its entirety. Do people have Parkinson's disease because of aspartame? Do people have brain tumors because of aspartame? Did Donald Rumsfeld get a whole lot of money when aspartame became illegal and ended up in your sodas, your diet sodas? All of that and much more. Mondays at 9, just in a few minutes. You don't want to miss it. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
For people who love peace all over the world, Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
Stop listening. The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The Senate isn't sure that it's legal. The White House says it's necessary. And this morning, the Judiciary Committee is hearing from Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. He's explaining why the Bush administration is standing behind a domestic surveillance plan that does not require the government to get a court warrant before it listens in on some people's conversations.
At issue in the hearing room is not how phones are tapped, but why the government does it without a court warrant. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez takes the witness chair to defend the NSA wiretaps against what he considers misinformed criticism. But he faces skeptical senators led by Chairman Arlen Specter, who calls the White House explanation so far strained and unrealistic. And come to ABC News, the White House.
The penalty phase begins today for the only person charged in the 9/11 attacks. Zacharias Moussaoui pleaded guilty to all of the charges against him.
Last April, Moussaoui pled guilty to 6 charges stemming from the September 11th attacks, 4 of which carry the death penalty. It's expected to take several weeks to select a jury to decide on a sentence. 500 people have been asked to report to court and will undergo a rigorous course of written and oral questions in the effort to seat a jury.
ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington. The world's first partial face transplant recipient says she feels like everyone else again. The 38-year-old French woman received the nose, lips, and chin from a deceased donor. She was disfigured after she was mauled by a dog. The Pittsburgh Steelers will be heading home later today, Super Bowl champions, but city officials are asking fans to avoid the airport today. Instead, they say head downtown for a big parade to honor the team tomorrow. Coach Bill Cowher, could you have predicted this earlier this season?
8 weeks ago, I'm not so sure how many people would have thought we'd be sitting here. Yeah. And
yeah.
So, I mean, it's a tribute to the coaches and to the players and, their focus and kind of resolve.
This is ABC News.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. If you have $4, $6, $10,000 in credit card bills, find out how quickly your debt can be paid off. Callers save an average of 30% in payments every month. So gather your bills and call now for a personal debt analysis. Licensing details available. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-695-9092. That's 1-800-695-9092.
Is your daycare center ready to help your child in the event of a disaster? ABC's Clarissa Douglas tells us about the American Academy of Pediatrics' new guidelines to make sure that it is.
Youngsters breathe faster, their hearts beat faster, their bodies are still growing. So pediatricians say it stands to reason that kids are more vulnerable to radiation, chem weapons, and biotoxins. The AAP says doctors need to help schools, daycare centers, and families with their disaster plans for anything from a hurricane to a terror attack. The pediatricians group recommends doctors be ready to convert their offices into emergency care sites. And hospitals should do everything possible to keep families together when disasters strike. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair says violence involving a drawing of the Prophet Muhammad is completely unacceptable. He says he understands the offensive nature of the cartoon, but that he won't condone attacks. Muslims in many countries rioted in outrage over them. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's time for another WGNU News Update. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. This update is a service of REMAX. In the news, the opponents of a development plan in Sunset Hills are cheering a judge's ruling as the end of the project. But the developers say the plan is not dead yet. A St. Louis County judge declared the ordinances allowing the Novus development near Lindbergh and I-44 void Friday, saying the plan should have gone back to the Tax Increment Financing Commission first. Will Ashinger of Stop the Sunset Hills Land Grab says the ruling sends a message that the public is not powerless.
You should question your government. You should question what they're doing with backing these types of developments. You should question how they're going through the processes. We achieved this victory because we questioned what the developer was doing, and we questioned what the city was doing.
Ashinger says city officials should allow the residents of the Sunset Manor neighborhood to do what they wish with their homes. Novus officials say the development is not off the table since the plan went back to the TIF Commission last month. In other news, members of the local NAACP and the St. Louis Clergy Coalition have concerns about the relationship between the public and the police. The two groups met Friday to discuss recommendations they'll make to law enforcement after last week's violent arrest of Edmund Burns. Reverend Gil Ford of the NAACP says they're not trying to excuse criminal behavior.
We are not trying to condone when someone does something wrong. But when someone in society does something wrong, we call them criminals. The question we have to answer is what happens when police cross the line, and what do you call them then? We are no way saying that we want lawlessness in our community.
The groups are calling for an area-wide chase policy, a civilian police review board, and guidelines to decertify peace officers who are guilty of such crimes as assault, perjury, failure to report the use of force, and ethnic or racial intimidation. They'll meet with Maplewood Mayor Mark Langston and Maplewood Police Chief Jim White this week to discuss their concerns. Meanwhile, local police are getting some support amid accusations of excessive force in that incident. A group of supporters gathered outside the Maplewood Police Department Friday afternoon to show their appreciation of the police. The demonstration came in response to the criticism of the police officers who were seen kicking and striking Edmund Burns during that arrest last week. Mike Henderson of St. Louis, who is African American, says Burns brought the blows on himself.
I think that he deserved every lick that he got. He put 300-400 people's lives in danger. There's nobody speaking up for those people. They want to speak up for some little knucklehead that wants to run over $10 worth of gas. I honor the police for chasing. I'm wondering where all the rest of the police were at.
Police say Burns led officers on a chase last Monday from a Maplewood Quick Trip into North St. Louis. The violent arrest followed a foot chase after Burns allegedly rammed at least one of the police cars.
And that's WGNU News, brought to you by REMAX. When it comes to real estate sales, REMAX outsells the competition. Number one in transactions per agent, REMAX, above the crowd. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Wilson. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the United States Customs and Border Protection. Eastbound 70 between 79 and Mid Rivers Mall, for an accident been cleared. The traffic should be back to normal by now. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley, look for everything to be on the move. Westbound 270 from 367 to Washington, Elizabeth, no problems to report. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, everything's on the move. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed until midday for maintenance work. Westbound 70 between Poplar Street Bridge and Memorial Drive, look for road maintenance having the left lane closed. Northbound 9th Street at Madison, look for an accident that has been cleared, but there may be a brief delay. And that is pretty much a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the United States Customs and Border Protection. Protecting America from the threat of global terrorism requires the right men and women. It's a demanding job. Do you have what it takes? Are you up to the challenge? To learn more about becoming a United States Border Patrol agent, visit cbp.gov. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly sunny today, high around 40 this evening. Partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the lower 20s. Moving on to Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny by the afternoon, a high around 40. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 20s. Then on Wednesday, partly sunny in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy by the afternoon. There's a chance of flurries. The high should be in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 24 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 25. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's a brisk 17 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU Radio. As you know, we are in the process of changing and starting new things at WGNU. To make the most of what you have to say and to air the best part everyone wants to hear, our engineers will ask you the subject you want to talk about as we start a new screening process at AM 920. We want to bring out the issues that matter most to you. Thank you for your cooperation.
Need to get it off your chest? 314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The cure for the common cause.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens, on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
to say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I sit there?
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. It's a struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Mondays at 9, this first Monday in February of 2006. Maybe we should just dedicate the rest of this year to stories that are just going to be heads up. Heads up. Pay attention. Pay attention. You need to know. Last hour we talked about our good government spying on us and justifying it despite the fact that they have a retroactive warrants that could be issued by a secret court. And if we have a government that is bent upon spying upon us without warrants and defending their spying vigorously, what do you think you have coming with a government like that and protecting you from what is safe in your food and in your air? We have a government that has said, an administration that has said, it's okay. Two thumbs up. Let's get it on. Let us test pesticides on pregnant women and orphans. Heads up. Heads up. Heads up. Need to pay attention because it's your job to protect yourself from this government. So in the first of our heads up, in one of our heads up stories for the year 2005, we need to talk about a society that is obsessed by thinness and their desire to get there. Consequently, their obsession with, their connection with diet sodas, diet foods, how safe is it? And let me give you a hint. Donald Rumsfeld is involved in it. So I think you know the answer to the question of how safe is it. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about it with Jim Turner. He's an attorney, and he's the director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy, and he's the board chairman for Citizens for Health. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. Jim Turner, good morning.
Hi, how are you, Liz? Good to be here.
I'm outstanding. So if Rumsfeld is involved in it, how safe is it for us?
It's not safe, and it's on the market because NutraSweet, aspartame, equal It's not safe, and it's on the market because he pulled in his political chips and pushed it past the FDA regulators.
Let's go back. It was approved for dry goods in 1981?
That's correct. Actually, that was its second approval. It was approved in 1974, and then a number of consumer groups, which I was the lawyer for, and some scientists objected, and we kept it off the market till 1981. That was because the more FDA looked at it, the more worried it got.
And what did you all see back in 1974?
In 1974, due to some lobbying by us and so forth, we were able to, for the only time in history, the FDA released the scientific papers upon which the safety of this food additive was based. And in those papers, we found that 15 monkeys had been given NutraSweet in low, medium, and high doses, and all the high-dose monkeys had epileptic seizures. We said that did not look like safe to us. We also found that in a human study, women gained weight using NutraSweet. We thought that didn't look too good. And then we also found studies that indicated that animals had had brain cancers that were unaccounted for. That did not look good to us. And we had gotten involved originally because in 1970, a scientist we work with had done studies that showed that the aspartame amino acid in NutraSweet caused holes in the brains of mice. All those four things, plus a couple of others, caused us to say, whoa, wait a minute, this doesn't look too good.
So you got the FDA. The FDA said, let's put this on hold.
But the FDA said, we asked for a public hearing, a public review. Under the law, there's a provision that says if the public comes in and asks for it, then the FDA can decide to give it or not. We asked for a public hearing, and the FDA agreed, and they set up a public hearing process. They also asked that the NutraSweet company, it was a division of the J.D. Cyril Drug Company, keep the product off the market voluntarily until that hearing was held, and everybody assumed it would be within the next year.
And what happened?
The FDA appointed a public board of inquiry of three. They called for a public board of inquiry of three world-class scientists. But before that board could be impaneled, an FDA inspector at the Cyril factories in Skokie, Illinois, discovered such chicanery and violation of sound scientific principle that the FDA asked for a grand jury investigation to determine whether or not the leaders of the NutraSweet company should be tried criminally. And that proceeding began to unfold. These things all took place, that is, the problems took place just before Donald Rumsfeld became president of that company.
And
he was hired to solve all these legal and economic problems.
Now, at the time that Donald Rumsfeld was hired, the status of the company was dire, wasn't it?
It was dire. It was Wall Street predicted it would be going out of business. Its stock had dropped almost to nothing. It was in very serious trouble, had many products that were in very serious trouble. And one of them was this sweetener. It was the only food product they had. The other products they had were drugs. They had the copper wire IUD and a couple of drugs that caused cancer side effects. And all of this was looked at by FDA, and they said that this was essentially the worst-run research laboratory in the country at that time. In fact, Congress passed a $12 million appropriation to clean up the kind of laboratory, I call it chicanery, but certainly everyone agrees that it was sloppy, the kind of behavior that they were engaging in at Cyril.
Now, prior to Donald Rumsfeld joining Cyril, deciding to take on this company at this horrible place that it was in, what were his qualifications to do this?
Well, he had been the congressman from that district, where Skokie, Illinois. Then he had gone on to become a member of the White House staff under Gerald Ford, and ultimately become the chief of staff of the Ford administration. And then he went on to become of the White House, and then he became went on to become Secretary of Defense. And those three jobs were gave him an enormous amount of political clout, which is what Cyril needed.
Well, why would he take on this job? What was in it for him at this point? I mean, the company wasn't doing any good.
Well, If you could get these products on the market, and particularly this one that was the sweetener, it stood to make a great deal of money for the cereal company. They were talking multi-billions of dollars a year. Ultimately, when the product was finally approved, Rumsfeld got a $12 million bonus personally for approving that product. Basically, it's an interesting situation because at that time in history, apparently a lot of businesses got the idea that rather than clean up their businesses and make them work well, they would just go and manipulate the political process. So you had somebody like Ken Lay at Enron had been an assistant secretary of the Interior and gone out and used political clout to build Enron. Here's Rumsfeld using political clout to dig Cyril out of its problems. The Cyril family was very wealthy, very prominent in that area. I'm sure that Rumsfeld was a part of their social set. And here he was, out of a job. I mean, the Democrats had just taken over the White House and controlled both houses of Congress, and he didn't have much of a future politically. And a rich family says, we'll pay you a bunch of money, and if you can be successful, we'll give you a bunch of bonuses.
So what did he do? First thing that he gets on board, what does he do?
Well, I'll tell you what was interesting. One of the first things he did when he got on board was to call me, because I was the known critic, and said, let's have a meeting and see if we can work this out. So I sat down in a hotel room with Rumsfeld here in Washington, and I said, look, you know, the data that you guys have does not establish safety. Why don't we do some tests, agree upon them, set up a procedure, and we'll get some independent scientists, and we'll do some tests. And either it'll come out and it'll show safety, or it'll come out and it won't show safety.
What'd he say?
It took 6 months for them to respond, and they said no. There were people in his company that urged him to do it. There were people who were his clients that were buying the product that urged him to do it. But what I intuit happened, I got an enormous amount of information from them. What I intuit happened is they looked at the potential scientifically and saw that it was a loser. And they just made the decision to go forward politically and legally.
Well, what do you think was the reason that in retrospect, what was the reason that Donald Rumsfeld wanted to meet with you? And what do you think he got out of the meeting?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. We had said before the product got approved by FDA, I had had a meeting with some Cyril representatives arranged by a senior official at the FDA, because we had put our objection, we had made an objection. We got together and had a discussion, and I said, I don't think your product's going to reach the market. And they said, we're sure it's going to be approved. That was the end of that meeting. Mm. And this was arranged by one of the major customers, actually General Foods, made this arranged this meeting because they were concerned that they did not want a product in their food that was not shown to be safe. So I thought when I said it wasn't going to reach the market that I meant it would be disapproved. They thought when they said it would be approved that it would reach the market. In 1974, it was approved, and it didn't reach the market. Mm. It was a very interesting outcome. So here they were with an approved product, but they couldn't sell it.
Mm.
So I think that what Rumsfeld wanted to do was to break that logjam. And he thought that if we could sit down and come up with some kind of a resolution that would allow the objectors to say, we're going to follow this program, and at the end of this program, if we get the right answer, then we'll support it. I think that's what he was seeking, and I certainly know that's what the customer wanted. That was General Foods, and it did not. What happened is his own staff said, "Now we can't do this." Now, I happened to talk to a person that worked for Cyril, was hired to look at the application they'd made to the FDA, and I had many meetings with this individual, and he laid out for me all the problems that the Cyril application had. I mean, it was a sloppy, poorly done, the science was bad, the thinking behind it was bad. This was a drug company, and they had a researcher in a laboratory in 1965 working on an ulcer drug. And during his test, as chemists are wont to do, put his finger in the new drug and put it in his mouth and tasted it and said, "Eureka, it's sweet." And as soon as his bosses learned about that, they decided to switch it from being an ulcer drug to being becoming a sweetener.
And so, okay, Rumsfeld gets on, he has this meeting with you, they say, no, we can't face it front on with the science component of this, we will lose. What happened after that?
They pulled a full court legal press. Here's what they did. First of all, there were when they an FDA inspection group went into the Serum Laboratories shortly after the FDA agreed to hold a hearing on the safety of the substance. This was in 1974. August of 74, we made our application, and very shortly before the end of the year of 74, they, or maybe early 75, they approved our request for a public hearing. And then in December of 75, in July of 75, an FDA inspector went into the Serum Laboratories and said, my God, what a mess, and the commissioner appointed a special task force. Now, remember, it was not being sold at this time voluntarily by Cyril. It was an agreement until the Public Board of Inquiry, they wouldn't sell it. The inspectors went in, the inspector went in, found a mess, a special task force was appointed. They issued a report in December of 75, but it was a scathing report. And they said there are law violations here. They have not kept the records clear. They have tampered with the evidence. I mean, a whole range of things that they said. So by January of 1976, the company was that's when the company started spiraling down. And then the 76 election was held, and the Republicans were thrown out, and Rumsfeld became president of the company in early 77, somewhere in that period. And as this negativity unfolded during the year of 76, the company just kept floundering and sputtering and so forth. And then Rumsfeld took over. We had our meeting. Then they took about 6 months to plan their strategy. And their strategy began with blowing off our efforts. And then they prevailed upon the FDA to hire a group of it's a company made up of university pathologists to look at the look at the Cyril studies. Now, interestingly enough, the deal that was made was that Cyril would pay for these guys to do the studies. So they did. And the studies that came out were a complete whitewash. It was very interesting.
And we have to break right here.
Sure.
And when we come back, we'll talk some more about that. I'm talking to Jim Turner. He is an attorney and the director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy. He's also a board chair for Citizens for Health. We are talking about NutraSweet. We are talking about Equal. We're talking about Spoonful. We're talking about Equal Measure. We're talking about aspartame, and this is Liz Brown. Mondays at 9, we're taking a break. Stay with us. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm just a click away at revolution@lizbrown.com. We are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org and streamed on the net at WGNU.net or lizbrown.com. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Come on, baby.
Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU Radio. As you know, we are in the process of changing and starting new things at WGNU. To make the most of what you have to say and to air the best part everyone wants to hear, our engineers will ask you the subject you want to talk about as we start a new screening process at AM 920. We want to bring out the issues that matter most to you. Thank you for your cooperation.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Hi, my name is Cheryl.
Hi, my name's Dove.
And we are the hosts of the new Crime Time Live talk show on WGNU.
Do you have a question that you've been dying to ask a private investigator?
We will take your questions and discuss topics that you won't want to miss every Monday night at 10.
Need to get a background check?
How do you protect yourself when looking for Mr. and Mrs. Wright?
Can't find someone that owes you money?
Find out how on Crime Time Live, Monday nights at 10.
Listen, folks, it's Valentine's Day. It's coming up. It's coming up. It's coming up. It's coming up. I want to do something special. I want to do something lovely. I want to do something thoughtful. I want to do something to show the world that you love your baby. Why don't you do this? Have an announcement. Have a Valentine's Day shout out right here on the wake-up call. How do you do it? Just give us a call at 367-2743, 367-2743, and we will help you through the process. We will do it for you. Let the world know that you love your baby by having a I love you Valentine's message on Valentine's Day right here on the wake-up call, 367-2743.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call, Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Time has come today. Young hearts can't go their way. Can't put it all another day. I don't care what others say.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. I'm talking to Jim Turner. He's an attorney and director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy, and he's the board chair for Citizens for Health. He's joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about aspartame. We're talking about NutraSweet Equal Spoonful, Equal Measure, and we're talking about why nobody should be using this stuff. Jim Turner, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Liz. Appreciate being here.
So we get to the place where there's this whitewash study that is done by pathologists. Is that what it is?
It's a group of pathologists, and the way they did the whitewash was quite interesting. They looked at the serial studies, and they said as far as they could tell, the information that serial gleaned from its studies and the information that it reported to the, that serial reported to the FDA were the same. They did not look at whether the studies had been designed properly or conducted properly. So that they actually sidestepped completely the issues that were at hand. It was quite a remarkable display.
Mm.
There were 11 so-called pivotal studies that were being reviewed. They reviewed 8 of them. 3 of them were reviewed by a group of 3 FDA scientists and internally in the agency. And the scientists said you could not draw any conclusions from the 3 studies because you could not be sure whether or not the animals ate the actual NutraSweet. What was happening is that you had such sloppily run studies that you couldn't tell whether the animals that were the control animals had been given the NutraSweet along with the animals that were the study animals. So they could not actually compare them. So they concluded you can't tell whether the animals actually ate the food they were supposed to eat. And as a result of that, you could draw no conclusions from those studies. Therefore, the FDA senior scientist that reviewed this report said, therefore, the studies did not establish that the product was unsafe.
Mm. So where did that leave Rumsfeld in the process?
Well, what happened, they then, in addition to that, they mounted a tremendous campaign to win, a so-called win, of the Public Board of Inquiry. And we'd asked for the hearing in 1974, and all of this maneuvering and so forth that was going on. And remember, at this time, it was off the market. Everyone was maneuvering around trying to get it on the market in one way or another. And ultimately, the Public Board of Inquiry was actually convened in January of 1980, so 74 to 80. There was all this maneuvering back and forth, and at each step of the way, NutraSweet, they call it the situation they got into. The group that ultimately produced it was called the NutraSweet Company, which was a subdivision of Cereal. So that's why I keep referring to it. But it wasn't created until after 1981. But in any case, the aspartame group at Cereal kept maneuvering around, trying to figure out this kind of action or that kind of action. So, for example, Rumsfeld took over the company and brought with him several of his political operatives from Washington. They went and got members of Congress to put statements in the Congressional Record, to write letters to the FDA, to just generally run a political campaign to get this product approved.
And then in 1980, who was elected president?
Well, what I wanted to tell you first, before I get to that, is in January of 80, we had the Public Board of Inquiry. It released its report in October of 1980, unanimously, three world-class scientists, one selected by us, one by Cereal, one by the FDA, three unanimously ruled this product should not be marketed because we cannot rule out the possibility that it will cause brain cancer, and indeed, the data suggested it might cause brain cancer. That was their ruling. That came in October of 1980, and in November of 1980, Ronald Reagan was elected president. Donald Rumsfeld was on his transition team, and a new FDA commissioner was appointed as soon as Reagan came into office. That commissioner had been a contract physician at the Department of Defense when Rumsfeld was the secretary. And then this guy came in.
But wasn't there also an executive order issued by Ronald Reagan, like one of the first things that he
did? One of the earliest things he did was to say that the FDA commissioner, who was the holdover commissioner, could not take any actions. That commissioner could have. Basically, when the Public Board of Inquiry ruled, that was an official legal ruling that the FDA commissioner could have followed and said, yes, it's off the market. It can't be on the market. It's gone. It's over. The FDA commissioner could have done that. However, Reagan stepped in and took away the authority of that commissioner to do that.
What was the window of time that the commissioner had the opportunity to do that prior to Reagan's?
He had the month of November and December and half of January. The interesting issue, though, is that he appointed a six-member board of FDA scientists to review the Public Board of Inquiry's decision to advise him on whether he should accept it or overturn it. And that board was working when Reagan was sworn in as president.
Now, had he taken it off the market at that point, could Reagan have gotten it back? Could Rumsfeld have gotten it back? Could Reagan have gotten it back?
They could have. They could have done it. It would have been a harder political task. Legally, they could have done it.
So I wonder if the person that had the opportunity to make that decision regrets not doing that.
One of these days I will ask him.
Let me get to a question here. Lois, do you have a question for our guest, Jim Turner?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Good morning to you and Mr. Turner.
Good morning.
I am so glad that you're talking about this. 6-7 years ago, I read an article about aspartame, and I stopped drinking anything with diet that stuff in it, because the report told you about it affects the arthritis in your joints, muscle weakness, and at the time I was having a lot of arthritis pains in my knees, and I stopped drinking any diet soda or eating anything with aspartame in it, I haven't had any trouble since. So I just wanted to let, you know, you are doing an excellent job on the political side, but I just wanted to people to know that what it's doing, because I've been trying to tell people for years to stop using that.
And thank you so much, Lois.
Okay.
And Jim, let's get to some of the what it does to people.
Well, this caller just mentioned several things. It's it is, first of all, the most complained about food additive at FDA. There are well over 10,000 complaints. Just to give you a sense, the second most complained about additive for many years, I don't know where they are exactly now, but was caffeine. And in caffeine, they got about under 100 complaints a year. They've got 10,000 complaints against NutraSweet now. And there are things that range from dizziness, that's the epileptic seizure type activity, dizziness, blurred vision. We even have a number of people who have complained of losing eyesight first in one eye and then in some cases in a second eye. We have the kinds of joint pains and so forth that were just spoken about.
We have weight gain.
And we have weight gain. Absolutely, weight gain. Now, the thing that we've been telling people is if they have these symptoms and they're high, and they're users, high users or medium users or any users of NutraSweet, go off the NutraSweet for 6 weeks. Keep a little diary and see what happens to the symptoms. And we have hundreds of people, thousands of people over the years who have done that and been able to escape the kinds of problems that they had.
Because
headaches is another one, serious headaches.
And isn't there a connection between, is it Parkinson's disease? Parkinson's and diabetes and a number of different illnesses connected to this
you get into a serious problem when you start talking about those kinds of things, because for example nobody really knows exactly what it is that causes Parkinson's, but the pathway of these amino acids that are put together in this product is very close to the pathway that appears to be involved in Parkinson's. We have a similar situation with MS, multiple sclerosis. We have a serious correlation of the upgrading, the increase of NutraSweet in the food supply and MS. Also, another issue that's very, very troubling to me is that this product in animals, this product lowers serotonin, so that means that you end up with a lower depression threshold, and it's quite possible that it will be contributing to some of the suicides that we see, particularly in teenagers. This is one of the issues that's come up on some of the serotonin-affecting drugs that are on the market, but NutraSweet does this also. And the reason I got so interested in it originally in 1970, first of all, there were the holes in the brains of mice by a scientist we were working with.
And I want you to hold that thought.
Sure.
Please, we have to take another break. I'm talking to Jim Turner, attorney and director of National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy, and board chair for Citizens for Health. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. This is Mondays at 9. I'm Liz Brown. We're talking about NutraSweet. We're talking about Equal. We're talking about Spoonful. We're talking about Equal Measure. We're talking about aspartame. I'll be back.
Son, what you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that I will. Things may not go as you plan. Dark clouds might bring you pain. But I will be in your heart still, telling you don't look down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. DuPont Chemical Company, the maker of the substance Teflon, is denying a report from an EPA advisory panel that the substance is a likely cancer-causing agent. The panel issued a report last Monday that indicated there was suggestive evidence from animal studies that an ingredient in Teflon called perfluorotonic acid can cause cancer. DuPont scientists disagreed with that finding and said the findings in animals do not prove it is a cancer risk to the general public. The EPA has not yet decided if it's going to accept the panel's findings, but it is likely to ask them to do further analysis before issuing a position on the matter. Teflon has long been used as a non-stick coating for cookware, but has other applications as well. And Dateline Detroit. In the midst of the extravagance and excess at yesterday's Super Bowl event in Detroit, there's another side to the city you probably didn't hear about from the media. Census Bureau information ranks Motown as the poorest city in the country. One-third of the people living there exist below the poverty level. Half of the children of Detroit live below the poverty level. A recent study showed that almost 40% of those living in the inner city area get by on less than $10,000 a year. The jobless rate is well over 30%. The city has laid off 1,400 workers since last summer because it's in such a bad financial shape. However, large chunks of revenue are being spent for building three new casinos, a new baseball stadium, and a new stadium for the Detroit Lions. City officials say the money coming into Detroit is going to be a catalyst for improvements to begin. Thousands of the homeless were rounded up and moved out of the immediate area surrounding Ford Field and told not to come back until after the game was finished. Many blocks in the city are so blighted that only one or two houses still stand on them. And, of course, this is the capital of the automotive industry, the same one that just announced massive layoffs are coming all over the country. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Dunn. Join me at midnight every Monday through Friday right here on WGNU. Yes, you heard right. Every night at midnight, Monday through Friday. Congress isn't the only group of people up at midnight, don't you know? Now the conspiracy hunter is flying under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and in world capitals and to discuss it with you. It's information that matters to all of us. Remember, join me at midnight Monday through Friday for the Conspiracy Hunter with Decent Guy Don Griffin on AM 920 WGNU, the station with something for everyone, even at midnight. See you then.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. I'm talking to Jim Turner, attorney and director of the National Institute of Science, Law, and Public Policy, also board chair for Citizens for Health. He's joining us in Washington, D.C., and he's talking to us about the dangers. Some call it the poison for the masses, aspartame. And, Jim, welcome back. You were telling us about why you got involved.
Well, the first thing that got my attention was these holes in the brains of mice being done in studies at Washington University by Dr. John Olney. But what intrigued me was that this was actually a mind-altering drug. Mm. This thing caused your brain to work differently. It makes you believe that you're tasting things sweetly when, by the way, it manipulates the amino acid receptors in your brain.
Mm.
So I looked at this as being a very serious brain-altering drug, and it seemed to me an unwise thing to be putting in the food supply.
Tell us about this connection with the desert troops of Desert Storm.
Well, the problem, the situation on NutraSweet or on aspartame was quite complex and volatile all through the 70s. And one thing that occurred came in over our transom, as they say, a memo from the Soft Drink Association to FDA saying we are very worried about the approval of this substance, because we know that when it's heated above 83 degrees, it breaks down into products that are dangerous.
Such as?
It breaks down into all its component parts, which include methyl alcohol, which is a very serious poison, and it ultimately breaks down to formaldehyde.
Mm.
The question about Desert Storm, which is all of these questions are hypotheses which Cyril and the government refuse to examine. So you have a situation where we know it breaks down into artificial, into its component products, into byproducts. There's one byproduct that's a known cancer-causing byproduct that it breaks down into. And it does this primarily, it does this under heat. Everyone knows this. So the question was, when you shipped massive amounts of diet soda into the Desert Storm, where the temperatures were in excess of 110 degrees on a regular basis, did this stuff break down into these component products and end up with people drinking it and having the kinds of assaults on their health that show up in the animal studies? That's the issue. Now, the company's response is that when it breaks down into these component parts, it tastes so bad nobody will drink it.
Huh?
Now that's a very strange statement, because it actually breaks down over time. So there's a period of time when the byproducts are present before it's present, they're present in such a large amount that the taste changes. And as I say, the Soft Drink Association itself was worried about this and submitted a document to FDA, essentially urging them not to approve this sweetener. Ultimately, that was overcome by cereal lobbying.
And also, I mean, isn't aspartame used in cooking?
Well, that was a decision made by FDA many years after its original approval, and at that point the agency was so callous and so coarse and so insensitive that the very idea that it breaks down into these products completely fell off the decision-making table. And I think one would have to be very, very seriously deranged to use this stuff in cooking.
How could someone find out the products that have aspartame in it?
Well, there are 5,000 products, the overwhelming number of them have it on the label. There are some, however, that it's very hard to find on the label, and we suspect there are some that have it without being on the label. There are certain kinds of mints that you get in restaurants and so forth that probably have NutraSweet in them, but don't say so. I think we've tried to get a full listing, and the best way to do that is to go to the NutraSweet website and see what they list.
Mm.
But as I say, there are about 5,000 products, in excess of 5,000 products at this point.
So if you drink really, really hot coffee and you put NutraSweet in it, does it break down?
I think you're taking it as a very serious risk, and I would advise anyone not to. As I say, if you are a person who uses NutraSweet and you have any of these symptoms, headache, blurred vision, dizziness, joint pain, certain kinds of swellings, you know, on hands and feet and so forth, these are all things that are in the scientific literature. Headaches, I don't know if I mentioned that. If you have these things, just go off the NutraSweet for 6 weeks and see if they go away.
And one of the things that I think was striking and horrifying is the fact that when the troops came home from Desert Storm, because they sent the soda anyway, and the soda got heated up, some of them came back with symptoms or at least disorders that are similar to what a person would have who had been chemically poisoned by formaldehyde.
That is correct. And the issue that we have here is that the FDA has a very strange standard. Either you prove things to be safe, or you allow them on the market. Now, what happens is there are many areas that the FDA does not look into when you're trying to prove something is safe. So, for example, NutraSweet went through its entire approval process without ever looking at any kind of effect on the brain, because the FDA did not require looking at effect on the brain at the time it was approved. Never since that time has the FDA required Cyril to come forward with tests showing that this does not cause harm to the brain.
Now,
the law requires the company to approve safety, to show safety. They did it without addressing the question of brain damage, and then after that, it was impossible to get it off the market because it was the FDA now had to come forward and prove positively that it was causing harm, and the politics just wouldn't allow that. The thing that's changed in the last year is that this Italian group has come up with very strong evidence that aspartame is a cancer-causing substance.
And we also have the state of New Mexico. It looks like they're trying to ban it.
The state of New Mexico is trying to ban it, and they're being inundated with huge legal efforts, bringing in all the former political leaders of New Mexico are coming in and fighting for it, paid for by Ajinomoto, the Japanese company that is the behind-the-scenes operative of all of this. Cyril has gotten out of the business. First of all, Cyril went out of business. Laid off 2,500 people about a year and a half ago. They're gone because once, they couldn't overcome all of this once it all happened. They were purchased by Monsanto.
So we now have.
It also has gone bankrupt and reorganized and put itself in another set of frameworks. And they've sold NutraSweet away. They don't want anything to do with it at this point. And the major defender in the world now is Ajinomoto, which defends NutraSweet. It defends MSG, which causes a lot of problems for a wide number of people. It has pulled off a wonderful coup in tryptophan. Tryptophan is banned as a dietary supplement falsely. It was an improper action. But now you can buy it at five times the cost that it used to be as a dietary supplement. You can buy it as a drug through Ajinomoto's distributors in the United States. I mean, it's a very fascinating system that we live in where these processes are done and always come out to favor the company that is wanting to make money off of it.
Now, what is the prognosis for the New Mexico efforts to ban NutraSweet?
It's a big day today. There, today and tomorrow, bill is before the Senate and House committees, and they're having hearings on them. They had hearings on Friday, and they continue them over until Tuesday. And everyone should, if you got friends in New Mexico, let them know. Write the Mexico State Senate. Write the Governor Richardson. It's a very interesting situation because the desire of the majority of the legislature is to ban the substance.
Wow.
But they pull in gazillions of lawyers to sit around and blast out one false legal argument after another saying why it can't be done.
Wow. Jim Turner, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Mondays at 9. Is there a place that you would direct people to go find out more about this issue?
Why don't you come to citizens.org. That's our website. Unfortunately, we just have a very small reference to it there, but we're going to be putting an action alert up this week.
Very good.
Citizens.org.
Very good.
Go there and look at all the other actions, too. That's something your people should just look at regularly because we're doing a lot of stuff along these lines.
Jim Turner, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The White House says it's a necessary tool in the war on terror, but there are some members of the Senate Judiciary Committee who aren't sure the president's domestic spying program is legal. And that includes some Republican members, like Pennsylvania's Arlen Specter, the chairman of the committee.
The president of the United States has the fundamental responsibility.